Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Government that labels patriots as traitors and hunts them down across the globe as it spies on its own citizens, kills journalists who expose the tyranny, targets dissidents with its secret police, and confiscates their rights and property while denying them religious freedom and the right to own weapons, arms the enemies of freedom while cracking down on freedom in the name of security, professes respect for privacy and transparency while it clandestinely undermines justice, peace, and liberty, agitating for a global war that the foundations of human civilization, including traditional marriage, respect for life, and a market of free people engaged in voluntary trade, medium, gold. This authoritarian regime is a danger to the stability of the whole world. I'm not talking about Iran or China or Syria. I'm talking about the criminal government that has appropriated the federal government of these United States. And it ain't just Obama. He's being assisted by Republican hotheads in a holy war with Muslim jihadis. You are live with Tex and Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City. Tex is on a special assignment this evening, but we are joined by our regular guest.
Supreme by the teen angels from his prehistoric flock of glacier ice.
Sorry about that, Chris. We got a technical issue. And I can't stop it. There we go. All right, Captain Caveman, you're live.
Oh, my gosh.
He has a lot going on.
Man, I'll tell you, the crap is about ready to hit the fan, and I think people just don't get it. You know, I really think that people are so overwhelmed. You know, they're still reeling from losing an election, which was meant to be lost a long time ago. But, you know, getting caught up in scandals that, you know, are either going to go somewhere or not go somewhere, while the most important things that are the telltale signs of the direction that we're going, that, you know, my opinion is going to lead us to war or financial collapse, is all this crap going on in the Middle East,
why not
including
both?
Libya.
Hey, mm-hmm. Why not both? Why not war and a financial collapse? We can have both.
Well, yeah. I have no – I mean, you know, we're screwing around. And I mean, Libya and Egypt and Tunisia and North Africa, those are all, you know, puppet governments that were set up by either the British Empire or the French or the U.S., So they were just in there, you know, beating up their own bad guys and causing, you know, handing it over to Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood and the rest of those wonderful people. But screwing around in Syria, nope. They're, you know, they're messing around with a sovereign nation, and it's a whole different group of people. You know, people don't understand. You know, you've got the Arab Peninsula, North Africa, and those groups of people, you know, which are many tribal, but, you know, the Arab, you know, influence. And then you get up into the northern region when you get into Syria and Turkey and Iran, you're dealing with a, you know, different group and a different Muslim sect. And, it's mind-boggling to see us actually back a particular side to a holy war with some really bad guys. It's you know, that last article you said you didn't have time to read was talking about, you know, the Turkey Airlines. People are seeing, like, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban on the airplanes
yep.
being shuttled in on Turkish Airlines. And,
yep.
and we're paying well, these guys while they're killing our men in Afghanistan. Somebody has got to stand up and go, oh, my God, this is serious. Yeah, that's what I've been saying for, what, 2 months I've been on this Syria thing?
Well, there's a couple of wacko birds that are making the case. Unfortunately, the entire federal government has been appropriated. And, you know, while everybody's playing the game of, you know, Romney versus Obama, Republicans versus Democrats, they're running the same show. You know, you got, you know, Senator Jane Allahu Akbar Muhammad going in to aid and abet the Al-Qaeda terrorist while they're number one on our war on terror, which he apparently has a huge hard-on for because, you know, the war on terror means that you've got to clamp down on every single American's freedom, and yet they haven't been able to stop the terrorists from acting in our country, and we're actually paying them, supporting them, giving them arms abroad. It's crazy. But I think you hit on a really important point. You said the pressure is mounting. It's a lot of pressure, and I think it's designed to get us to tune out, either, you know, mind-numbing television and watch, you know, America's Got Talent or whatever other distraction you can find, or just kind of, you know, curl into
or
your
America
little
has
huddle.
Immigration.
Yeah, and there's the thing is that we've got a lot of stuff to tie in tonight, and we're going to get into it. We've got Snowden, we got the Gang of Eight immigration amnesty bill, we got the Syria thing going on. There's a lot of craziness, and it's all related. It's all of a piece, but just real quick, let's do some housekeeping. Call in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Hopefully we'll get a two-hour show in tonight. This is Hotheads and Holy Wars Part 2. Last week, for whatever reason, Blog Talk Radio shut us down early. I hope that doesn't happen today, but we're going to continue the conversation to see if we can tie these threads in together. If you're listening live, right below the show icon, there is a follow button. Just click follow, and you'll get a notification in your Blog Talk Radio profile and associated email as to when we're broadcasting. If you're listening in archive or podcast, right below the show graphics, there is a download link. Just right-click on that download link, and you get an MP3 of the show. You can listen to it in any MP3 device. You can burn a CD and give it to people. You can you know, send it by email, and this is really important because we don't get paid to do this. In fact, we pay to do it, and we have absolutely no marketing other than you, and we thank everybody who's out there posting the show and sharing it and tweeting it and telling everybody about it, especially Arlene, who's been doing a great job getting us out there, but we need all of you to really help us out. When you see me post on Facebook or Twitter, just retweet or share the show so we get more people informed. You have to agree with everything we say, but we're trying to give you an authentically conservative perspective about what's going on from a constitutional standpoint, not this, you know, back and forth football game between Democrats and Republicans while they build a police state over your head and you think that you're on the, you know, the right team, the other team's the wrong team. The only team is America, and the only enemy, it's not Al-Qaeda, it's not Syria, it's not Iran, it's not any of this crap. The enemy is your federal government, because that's what's causing all these things to actually affect your life. So we got to do something about it. So go to our Facebook page. That's the Tex and Rex Show on Facebook. And like the page. You'll get notifications in your news feed when we're broadcasting. And in Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia, there is links to all the articles and stuff that we reference. And if you want to engage in solid political discussion about what's really going on with action items about what you can actually do about it, such as calling your senators and representatives about particular bills that they're trying to put through and that sort of thing, go to Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. It's not just one of these groups where people post news of the day, although that sometimes happens. For the most part, we engage in serious discussion about what's happening to get to the bottom of it, tie these threads in together. If we don't do this together now, we may lose this country forever. And if we lose this country forever, the world will be a very dark place. So we got a lot to get into. I don't even really know where to start, Chris, but the big thing that seems to be going on right now is a global manhunt by the United States federal government bullying every other sovereign nation in order to grab an alleged spy, espionage, treasonous guy named Edward Snowden. Now, the interesting thing to me is spies usually steal information that's relevant to the security or defense structure of a government, and they sell it to that government's enemies. Snowden basically grabbed information that revealed what we already knew, if you've been paying attention, that your federal government was spying on you and building a police state apparatus contrary to the Constitution, especially the Fourth and Fifth Amendments. And he told us, generally, you don't tell the people of the government that you're, quote, spying on. You sell that information to the highest bidder. So, you know, whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a traitor or a hero is really not relevant. What he did was he verified that which most of us who were paying attention already knew. The government is watching you. And in so doing, they aren't preventing any Muslim jihadi terrorist attacks. In fact, we're spending billions of your dollars and your debt giving them weapons, support, training, and helping them battle other regimes that are actually doing a better job of fighting terrorists than we are. What do you make of that, Chris?
Twilight Zone, American Idol on steroids. There are days that I just go, is anybody getting this? Can you connect the dots? I mean, you know, you talk about the group coalition, and, you know, that's the majority of our conversation is we pick, you know, key topics, and we stay on them. You know, our Syria thread was, you know, between the old one and the new one, I don't know, what are we at, 1,800 comments and posts. You know, the goal is to connect those dots. And actually, if you really want to, you know, get beyond that, you know, you look at the whole, it all goes back to 9/11, you know, and then comes forward. I don't think anybody pre-9/11 would have thought that we would be looking, having the revelation we have about the people that are running our country, that are doing these things, not just to us. There's a lot of countries pissed off at the U.S. snooping, you know, when some of this information came out. You know, Germany is the highest percentage group in the EU. And if anybody remembers, President Obama was there recently next to Merkel, and she did not look happy, you know, and he was hiding behind a bulletproof glass with his two favorite buddies, teleprompter one and teleprompter two, you know, and she was not happy. But anyway, you know, there's a lot going on. Basically, I look at Snowden, and I don't have an opinion. I'm glad he did it. He's got a lot of balls to do it. You know, now whether or not he's some deep spy or he was, you know, had this plan from the beginning, you know, who knows? I don't know. All that will be revealed in time. But the information that he handed out was relevant to people, not to, you know, secrets to a government that we were doing this and we were doing that, and now we exposed, you know, operatives. He didn't do that. You know, he didn't expose troop positions. He didn't expose things that put people at risk. Now, in the news, they're continually downplaying it, like, well, everybody already knew this shit anyway. Oh, yeah, but he's a traitor because he gave away secrets. You know, it's like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth or out of their head and their ass at the same time. But basically, what he did was he exposed to the common human being in free, supposed free countries, what the government was doing. And if people are paying attention to this situation, there was two whistleblowers that go back to 9/11 when they first were developing this this eavesdropping type technology, you know, for searching out connection between bad guys and their connections in the U.S. and things like that. There was guys that spent $3.5 million and invented a program that worked without intruding and doing a drift net across the whole society and collecting trillions of bits of information on people without just cause, which is unconstitutional. But, you know, these guys, their system was thrown in the garbage because all the defense contractors and crooked congressmen and all their lobbyists, they wanted to spend billions and billions of dollars building this monster system, you know, with the purpose of supposedly keeping us safe. But it's just another typical defense system gone in the toilet and costing us billions and billions of dollars and really isn't doing the job that we expect our government to do, which if you look at the initial Patriot Act, it had a lot of limitations on it. You know, you found a guy through normal police work that had connections to a guy in a bad in a country, and that guy had connections to bad people, you know, with a warrant. And the judge, you could go in and then track that person and follow a bad guy down. You know, that was just a specialized program for, you know, terrorists versus standard crime. And you look at what the monstrosity of the NDAA, which people have been, you know, screaming about for years who understand it, you know, and you look at this whole monster and you're going like kind of what Eisenhower said when he left office. Do not let this industrial war machine take over our country.
Kinda.
That's really what
exactly
it boils
what
down to.
Yeah, that's exactly what he warned us against. And I'll say something here. You know, there are certain aspects of the Patriot Act that certainly kind of cleaned up the, you know, alphabet soup. You know, every agency going in 10 different directions, all, you know, doing duplicate work and certainly not helping us, you know, with genuine national security, the common defense of the national borders type thing.
Sure.
But
connected.
The guy that drafted Section 215 saying, I never intended it to go this far, you know, this is the same argument that you get with anybody. I don't give a crap about your good intentions. The reason we have a Constitution is because there are things, no matter how well-intentioned they might be, whether it's feeding the poor, ending drugs, saving children from sexual molestation, you know, protecting us from terrorists or changing the tax code, whatever these are, you know, your intentions are irrelevant. You have to stay within the confines of the Constitution, and they exceed those constantly. Whenever they get out of bounds of the Constitution, no matter how good the intentions might be, things go terribly wrong. And so Section 215 of the Patriot Act led to the indefinite detention provisions of the NDAA. It led to drone warfare. It led to the NSA prison program. You can go back to the 50s when Echelon. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. And basically it comes out of the simple fact, government is a good thing because it helps us order our lives together. But if that government isn't constrained by those that it governs, it will always grow and increase in power. And the more power it has, the more corrupt men it will attract. And this whole two-party game, you know, I'm a Fox News, an MSNBC person, I like Rachel Maddow, I like Sean Hannity, I'm going Romney, I'm going Obama, that is a stupid mindset. And until America gets over that stupid mindset, we're never going to right the ship, and we are close to critical breaking point. It could be a matter of months. So you'd better get on point and wake all those other idiots up who just go vote party line, whether it's a D or R, or, you know, listen to the television and think that they're getting some kind of balanced and fair commentary, okay? It's a bunch of crap. You know, and you know, trying to focus on the Snowden thing before we get into holy wars. Here's Peter King, right? This is a guy in government who's allegedly one of the conservative Republicans. Listen to what he says, not only about Snowden, but he's taking a swing at what I would, you know, what you can argue is the most prominent Republican there is around right now. Even the Washington Post had to admit that, and the Washington Post is not favorable to Republicans. This is Peter King on Snowden and taking a swipe at the most prominent Republican. It's about a minute long.
The other question is, how do authorities even begin to try and get Snowden back here to the U.S.? Congressman Peter King in New York, a Republican member of the Homeland Security Committee, chairman of the Subcommittee on Counterterrorism and Intelligence. Congressman, thanks for coming in this morning. Has he slipped through our fingers forever?
Maybe not forever, but it's going to be very difficult. We have to use every bit of diplomatic leverage we have right now. The president should be in contact with Putin, saying that this whole reset button with Russia, that's off if Putin allows him to leave the country and does not send him back to the United States. They're talking about Iceland. Iceland is a NATO ally. We should take whatever action we have to, diplomatically, financially, against Iceland. As far as Cuba and Venezuela, that's a haven for refugees from American justice. So it's going to be difficult. But also, I think it's important for the American people to realize that this guy is a traitor. He's a defector. He's not a hero. And I heard that Senator Rand Paul this morning actually compared Snowden to General Clapper. What's happening to our country? This is a traitor. And for anyone to be comparing him to a U.S. military hero is absolutely disgraceful.
What's disgraceful is that this douchebag who sits on the Homeland Security Subcommittee of Draconian 1984 Brave New World Implementation, whatever the fuck that is, all right, is calling out Rand Paul, who is standing up consistently for the Constitution. Okay, this guy is trying to go around the Constitution. Of course, you know, if it was a liberal issue like, you know, welfare or racial injustice or something, he wouldn't pay attention. But if it's about building up bombs and cameras and SWAT teams to break into your house to get you because you let your vehicle registration expire, ooh, this guy's got a hard-on for it. And he's throwing around his weight against Vladimir Putin? I don't know, whatever you think about Putin, I wouldn't piss that guy off. He's serious, and he means what he says. And then sanctions against Iceland, the one country in Europe that when the financial collapse happened, jailed the politicians and the banksters and bailed out the homeowners who had been raped with those messed up mortgages. You want to impose sanctions against them because they're considering allowing Snowden asylum? What insanity is this?
You know what this boils down to, and of course, when you get in the Middle East, there's a set of dynamics there. But most of what is happening on our side of the ocean, in the Europe with the IMF and us with the Fed, is you've got these fiat banking systems that are broke, overextended. We've got 100% debt load. GDP. You know, debt load to GDP. Europe is about the same, 90 to 100, who knows, you know, if you're getting the truth or not. But these are failed systems, and this all goes back to, you know, the turn of the century for us with the Fed. But basically what you have is this dynamics between East – well, I don't want to say East and West because it depends on where you go in the world. But when you look at Russia, Russia has, what, 2.5% foreign debt load, 10% total debt load as a country. They bought up enough gold to actually smelter and build the Statue of Liberty recently out of gold. You know what I mean? That you've got these countries who have sound money practices. You look at China, you look at Russia, you look at what Libya was, you know, Gaddafi and Libya was doing. So what you know, and the same with Syria and the same with Iran. You know, they're not buying into this IMF Fed monopoly money game. That's what it really boils down to. No matter what you look at, when it comes to war, foreign policy, and foreign intelligence, it all has to do with banking. That's what it really comes back to. And a lot of people just – I know we've talked about it, and you're the expert on this stuff, you know, for ever since we've met each other, this whole concept of what it means to have an illegal entity like the Fed printing money that is not in the Constitution to do. You know, the government gave them that power. So this battle that's going on, what Iceland did is they threw those fiat European bankers in jail because they, you know, there are people, if you, you know, you can go down that conspiracy road, but it seems to be true. It seems like these people crashed the system on purpose. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but whatever, you know, every 8, 9, 10 years, the system crashes. A bunch more money is printed. We work harder. We have less. You know, I mean, why do you think they're importing 11 to 20 million illegal aliens? You know, we kill 3,500 babies a day in this country. You know, people are tired. They can't work any harder. And so we got to import labor now. you know, we're killing off the youth in our in these wars that have nothing to do with human rights, that have everything to do with banking, and you know, we're running out of young men. I mean, it's crazy. And this whole Snowden thing, when you listen to guys like King talk, he's just your typical neocon war. We're the biggest. We're the baddest. And what it really is they're scared. In my opinion,
yes.
I think they're scared.
Well,
they're losing,
calling apart on their ears. Look,
you cannot have 100% dead load.
No, you. I think you hit it. I mean, you know, Deep Throw was right. Follow the money, okay? And the fact is, since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was illegally fabricated, because Congress does not have the authority to give that power to a private bank. I mean, if that's something that we as people want, fine. There's Article 5 of the Constitution, amend it and give, you know, a private banking cabal power over your money. But that's not what happened. So it's an illegal thing. It's been going on for 100 years, way too long. It's been in earnest since Nixon took, you know, finally decoupled us from the gold standard. And you mentioned that some of these other countries have sound money practices. I wouldn't say that. They're all fiat paper bullshit, but they are certainly moving in a sounder direction than we are. And what happens when your paper currency starts to just collapse, and it is essentially the de facto global currency, and other people are getting sick and tired of it. The only thing that you have is the, you know, the petrodollar. It's no longer any back real commodity other than the ability to trade it. You know, all trade of oil is
that's
going to
fall apart.
Dollar.
That's what our war is happening over right now.
When you move from a commodity-backed currency to a paper currency that only has political clout, you know, quote, full faith and credit of the United States government, and that faith in that credit is disappearing globally and domestically, then the only other thing you've got is power and force. And the problem with that is that we're stretching the force so thin that we might actually come up against other powers that could be a significant problem, especially when your morale is low because your fighting force doesn't know what the hell they're fighting for. They're not fighting for defense of country. You know, a soldier doesn't, a sailor, airman, marine, whatever, doesn't ever worry about what's in front of him or any bullets flying towards him because he's always defending what's behind him. But when you're not defending what's behind you, but you're being sent as a mercenary force for bankers, you don't have the incentive to fight. You know, you can't take away anything from our volunteer troops and all the bravery that and sacrifice that they do, but they're being misused because they're not defending the country. They're actually putting themselves and us in more danger because of the idiots that are handling this horrible foreign policy. And the thing is that what happens abroad, you send them over there to kick in doors and to kill people, and you know, even these humanitarian wars where we're helping heart-eating, cannibalistic, psychotic, jihadi terrorists kill innocent people, especially Christians. You know, it's just psychotic, okay? And
you know
you
what
can't
else
even
they have, Rex?
Fathom that we're doing this. What?
You know what else they have? Their mullahs will give them a 3-day, even though they could be married in their country or whatever, they will give them a 3-day wedding.
Yeah, temporary marriage.
That absolves them from any other legal binding issues in their home country, and then they can marry some gal in a tribe, you know, like a 12-year-old or whatever is their choice of age, and then they can rape her for 3 days, and then they can move on and go kill some more Christians and eat some more hearts. These are the people we're backing.
It's disgusting, and you know, Senator Jane McCammon, you know, Lindsey Lightner's loafers Graham and King hard on for building a police state. I mean, these idiots are supporting, you know, Obama, who seems to like have his hands off. I don't really want to intervene in Syria. You already are, and this is bullshit. He just wants to pretend to be the Nobel Prize holding asshole while he foments these wars. And if you look at it, everything that we're doing is supporting fundamentalist Sunni Salafist jihadis, not only against the Shia but against Christians and against our own. It's insane. It's frigging insane. But what happens is when you build this imperial army overseas in order to secure resources and bully other people around, we're going to put sanctions against Iceland if they take Snowden, all this crap, you build a robust police state at home, and you put people in fear, especially when war is going on, where they'll, you know, accept it. You know, well, if I have nothing to hide, then it's okay that the government spies on all my stuff. No, it's not okay. Even if you might be stupid enough to think it's okay, the Fourth Amendment is still the supreme law of the land, and it says that they cannot do this. And there's very few people that are even talking in these terms.
Well, I know, you look at the IRS situation, Rex, and that's exactly where the government used its power to target a group of people who were doing nothing wrong and hurt them financially and politically. So it does matter, and that's just one case. And the other thing is that people don't realize that they can build a whole dynamic profile of your life, make all these connections, and make a false narrative about you, and you can't stop it. And they can spread that and destroy your life, your career, use it to blackmail you. People don't understand. These people walk around and say this. It's the stupidest, lamest, pothead mentality. Oh, I ain't doing nothing wrong, so what the hell anyway? You know, it's like, it's like, who put her in charge? Remember that? Aliens?
Yep.
you had that clip. You know, I mean, you got to be, are you people insane to even think that? Is this the product of a public education system for the last two generations?
Well, I don't know if it's a public education system. There's nothing really inherently wrong with public education in the sense that, you know, your populace should be educated. It's government-controlled, centralized education that's the fundamental problem. And the fact is, the kids, and I showed you a clip, I mean, I think it's from your state, kids today are dumber than fucking dirt, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault. They're intentionally making them stupid in order to not know what's going on, in order to have no idea how the Constitution works.
What countries border the U.S.? I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
High school
students
couldn't
name.
Even freaking name the countries.
They can't name that. They can't tell you who the vice president is, but they can tell you that Kim Kardashian had a baby that they named Northwest last week. That's the kind of shit that they're interested in. And it's not their fault. This is what happens when you take mommy and say, hey, you know what? You raising your own kids and taking care of them at home is a worthless endeavor. Let's send you to work or put you on welfare and give you some crystal meth. And then you take the kid and you send, you know, and so now both parents have to work or it's a single parent household. And so the kids are doing what? They're being raised by the television, which is corporate media. They're being raised by the government schools, which are funded by corporations and have an agenda of indoctrinating them into being, you know, compliant serfs as opposed to independent thinking citizens. And then you wonder why you don't recognize your own kids and they turn out to be, you know, easily manipulated automatons of the state. This is the problem. This is why the bulwarks against tyranny have always been the traditional family, mom, dad, children. The community of traditional families, even, you know, that take care of themselves in their local community, not in some kind of communism, but in voluntary self-rational self-interest as a community, okay, and the church. Because if you're not a moral and religious people, just like our founding fathers told us, this liberty that you have will easily turn into tyranny. And you're seeing it. And those of us who've been wearing tinfoil hats and talking about this stuff for so long and being thrown to the margins, hey, we don't want to sit around and say, I told you so. There's no point in that. You don't want to be one of those people that, you know, you either get off your couch now, turn off the dancing with the douchebags, get the Cheetos out of your mouth, and go engage other people. Oh, but sometimes that's not polite. People don't want to talk about politics and religion. They might not want to be my friends anymore. It's uncomfortable at work. Get used to being uncomfortable and make them uncomfortable and be a pest, because you're either going to do it now and wake them up, or you're going to be sitting in a FEMA camp telling them, I told you so. I told you this was going to happen. How productive is that? It's nuts.
Well,
but what happens?
Yeah, it's I don't know. There are days, I mean, you and I talk a lot, and there are days when I just look at people. I was moving around to different groups that people have added me to that I don't spend any time on, but just posting the show and just kind of looking at what people post, and I'm thinking, no wonder I just stay on my group. You know, we actually have conversations about things. We actually dig deep into stuff. We actually, you know,
and we tie it together.
Topic, and we tie it all together, and we do research, and we have, you know, we tie it to the shows, and here's the frustrating part is, I don't think I'm that smart. You know, I've never considered myself very scholarly. You know, I just have a street savvy. I grew up around really smart people. My mom, you know, is a sociology history major, double master's. My dad's a nuclear health physicist. And my grandmother was a teacher. She was actually in college in the Depression as a woman at 16 years old. So I had some very intelligent, and they were all teachers, some very intelligent family. And my granddad, I think I'm a lot more like him. You know, he kind of left school in the eighth grade because his dad died and had to take over the farm in Oklahoma. You know, and so, but he was the smartest dumb guy I ever knew in my life. You know, he just had this, nothing got past him. You know, he didn't read really good, but man, you could sit around and talk to that guy about things, and he could tell you about people, he could tell you about situations, he could talk about them damn Californians are coming up over the Oregon border and going to ruin this state. You know, he had a lot of savvy, and so I think a lot of who I am is because of the people that I was raised around, and that's an important thing, is I was raised by my family. And I look around me today, and I look at these kids and these young people, even people who are in their 20s and 30s, and I'm thinking, who in the hell raised you? You know, that's scary, Rex, because I don't know how fast we can turn this thing around. You and I would probably be old and walking around with walkers, you know, walking around with walkers, you know, or sitting in the old folks' home, bitching about the young people, or whatever, before this stuff starts to turn. I'm beginning to think it's going to take a couple generations to reverse this.
Of course.
And it's going to have to crash like hell before people wake up. I can't believe it. Of course. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. And of course it is. And, you know, before everybody freaks out about the skies falling and it's the end of the world, I mean, you know, maybe it is the end of the world. That doesn't
really
matter.
It's always been the end
of
the
world.
Or
not. Yeah, what do you got left? 40, 50, 60 years at most? I mean, if you're listening to the show, I assume you're at least 20 years of age. So, you know, that's really kind of pointless. But is it going to take time? Yes, of course. It took us 100 years to get here. And actually, if you really want to look at it in earnest, this battle has been going on since before the Republic, but it kind of stepped up after the war for Southern independence, and in earnest during the, quote, Gilded Age with the progressivism and all that crap. It's been, you know, 1913 was a really bad year. We need to repeal the whole damn thing, as Dr. Ron Paul says. You know, but
what did
and
Wilson
that means,
say,
you know,
on his deathbed?
He warned. He basically said that he signed the money, the government, over to a hidden money power. That's basically what he said.
Yeah. And who are,
you know, those? He was an academic, and they used him. They put people into the White House pews. You know, it's easy to point the finger at the guy in the White House. Obama did this, Bush did that. It's easy to point the finger at them. And, you know, I will argue that in some cases they are complete assholes who want to do this. But in some cases they're just duped because they're not that bright and they're easily managed. Or they got some blackmail on them. I mean, who knows what the NSA has. So, you know, the one man is not the problem. It is a cabal, and they don't necessarily have to be conspiring together. It's just a cabal of corrupt men who have the same ends, more power, more control. Sometimes they actually do fight with each other because it's not the issue of that they don't want the government to have the power. It's that they just don't want the other guys to control that power. They want to be the ones in charge. That's the game. And the Constitution was designed to prevent that from happening.
Well, have you ever seen that chart? And I know it's been posted on the group before, but there's a chart that shows all the people behind the scenes that get high-level positions regardless of who's in power. Have you ever seen that? Somebody actually put that together. And you look at the players behind the scenes, the people in the administrations, the czars of the different departments. You know, there's so many things that are going on. You know, we focus on Obama. We focus on, you know, this person or that person or Bush or whatever. And you know, the government's not run by one person. It's run by a whole group of people. And if you look, regardless of who's in power, you look at, you know, they bring in a political administration with them. But still, a lot of these departments, these key embedded departments that control our foreign policy, our wars, you know, the CIA, all this stuff, you know, a lot of these higher, you know, mid to high-level bureaucrats, they're there
Lifer.
Regardless of who's in power.
That's
and
true.
That's
Lifer.
Where you got to start looking. And who was the guy, the two guys that talked about that we need to destroy this machine and get rid of this monopoly on our country? Newt and Ron Paul.
Yep. That's absolutely
true. The
only
two guys
right.
that talked about it.
Yep. Know? And they are kind of now both, you know, you've got Newt, the elder statesman who, you know, No matter what you think about Newt, you have to acknowledge the fact that he was effective at moving the government towards the right in the late 90s, contrary to the popular, powerful liberal Democrat who was running the executive department. He forced him to the right. Was it far enough? No, but guess what? It was far enough that the rhinos like Boehner and Santorum and Lindsey Graham freaked the fuck out and got rid of Newt, and then went on a spending spree with Rove's compassionate conservatism and W's swaggering conservatism. I mean, maybe W loved this country, maybe he was a good guy, but he was certainly Rove's little puppet and kind of pushed forward this progressive agenda under the guise of conservatism. And Dr. Ron Paul, he's been talking about it for 40 years. But now we have kind of new blood that's actually there practically in power. All right? It's a small coalition, and 2014 is going to be hugely important, because if you don't send in reinforcements for these guys, you got no shot on the federal level. And remember that they're applying to us, they're applying a pressure from below and a pressure from above. The pressure from above is these imperialist wars and these draconian police state measures and all the chaos with, police going into get a vehicle registration expiration, shooting someone's dog or their kids, or all this chaos. They've got cameras everywhere. The NSA spying on every phone call. Listen to this radio show. By the way, guys, sometimes Blog Talk Radio downloads are kind of messed up, so if you could send us a copy of the one you got there in Baltimore, that'd be helpful. And so they've got this pressure from above, and then the pressure from below is kind of just putting the screws to you. So you got Tea Party, Occupy, Ron Paul Revolution, everybody's all riled up, and what they're trying to do is infiltrate those movements and get you to just get pissed off and chaotic, like what's going on in Turkey and Brazil and all over the world, okay? But we don't have to do that here, because what we can do is we can apply our own pressure. And the pressure from above is sending in reinforcements to the federal government that actually believe in the Constitution instead of party or instead of power. Yeah. And they're actually going to put forward a constitutional agenda. And pressure from below means get to know your local officials, especially your sheriff, okay? Get to know your delegates to your state houses and start putting pressure from below, because it's all about nullification, restoration of the militia, restoration of state's authority, and a constitutional federal government. You can apply it. Now, speaking of which, we just heard from Peter Warmonger Hard on King attacking Snowden. Here's about a minute, Rand responding to that.
Oh, good.
Our National Intelligence Director with Edward Snowden. Mr. Clapper lied in Congress in defiance of the law in the name of security. Mr. Snowden told the truth in the name of privacy. So I think there will be a judgment, because both of them broke the law, and history will have to determine. I do think for Mr. Snowden, if he cozies up to the Russian government, it'll be nothing but bad for his name and history. If he goes to an independent third country like Iceland, and if he refuses to talk to any sort of formal government about this, I think there's a chance that he'll be seen as an advocate of privacy. If he cozies up to either the Russian government, the Chinese government, or any of these governments that are perceived still as enemies of ours, I think that that'll be a real problem for him in history.
So you are sympathetic to Edward Snowden. I wonder if you heard Senator
Schumer. Yeah, Senator Schumer. Chuck you, Schumer.
Schumer.
Here's the thing, and it, I can't stand that guy.
He reminds me of the
for
Joker
number
on
reason.
Batman. The Joker on Batman.
Yeah. But hey, look, the thing is that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Cowdy and Amash, there are people up there trying to do this. There's just not enough of them, and they're coming up against an entrenched power elite of, McConnell, Reid, that orange douchebag Boehner, Eric Cantor, and they need reinforcements. You've got to send in more reinforcements. Don't fall for this crap of lesser than or of two evils. Find real constitutional conservatives and help them at the local level get up to the federal level while you work on anybody you can find who believes in the Constitution locally. But the interesting thing to me is what Rand pointed out, which I think is a valid point. If Snowden does go to China or to Russia, even though one could argue Russia might be more free than the United States these days, it would be not only perceived as a bad step. Yeah, it could be a bad step. But he's not. First of all, he never went to China. He went to Hong Kong, which is not really China. It's kind of a unique place, because the Chinese
Hong
have sort of had a
hands off.
Yeah, an arm's length distance. It's part of China now, not a British protectorate anymore, but it's still pretty much Hong Kong. And he's flying through Russia. Now, if the United States government is hunting you and you need to get somewhere, odds are that the Russians are going to be your best friend in getting you to your final destination. They have the clout and the power.
And they got
it appears
that
he's... Yeah, that's a really cool chat. But
jet
it appears that he's... Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't want to see our boys going up against that in a Syrian no-fly zone.
No,
but we digress. We'll get into the Syrian theater. But you know, Snowden looks like he's heading to either Iceland or possibly Ecuador. You know, Julian Assange is helping him through the WikiLeaks lawyers and that sort of thing. Any way you cut it, he has more to tell us, but if he had secrets to sell to a foreign government, he would have already hunkered down in that place and would have gone straight there and sold it to them. The only information he's given out, he's given basically to the world in general, but principally to the American people, saying, look, you're being spied on by your own government. And he hasn't released any information that's put anybody in harm's way, despite what they're telling you about it's undermining our systems and all this stuff. Hey, I hate to tell you this, but spying on every single American's electronic communication
It's illegal.
Is not in any way, shape, or form going to stop a terrorist attack from happening.
No.
Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't spy on electronic information to find terrorist activity, but you got to get a warrant for it, and it's got to be targeted, first of all, because that's the only way a human person can actually digest the metadata after you run it through any number of programs. But if you're just throwing a net over everything, then the only thing you're doing is acquiring private information on American citizens, and it's too overwhelming to actually help you catch any friggin' terrorists.
Yeah, drift nets.
So clearly that's not the intention. It's about control, not security.
Yeah.
And Rand, you know, is talking about it, bringing it up and doing something about it. He's introduced, you know, the Fourth Amendment Protection Act. He's got a petition going. Everybody should go to his website. I think it's rand2016.com or his Senate page and support this lawsuit to end this police state tyranny, even though this is only one of a number of programs that are going on, and God knows what we don't know so far. But, you know, that's the important thing, Chris. I think that people have to realize that we have good people doing good work. Are you going to agree with them on everything? No. But at least they agree on the Constitution, and that's a start. But it can't just be a federal issue.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, the thing that before, I actually lost my thought because you got on a roll and then it came back to me right at the last second there. No, it's okay. It just that something that's very important is, and has always been very impressive to me, was the Tea Party movement and the people that were part of that movement. And you look at how bad Sarah Palin was abused across the country. Now, regardless of what you think of her voice is too shrill, whatever, you know what I mean? That woman backs winners, and she's good at it. And when you look at, you know, Ron Paul backs specific people. You look at who these people are endorsing. You look at the Tea Party movement. Now, what happened was now that we see the IRS scandal and the NSA thing, I'm sure the Tea Parties were you know, the amount of the way they were treating the people trying to get their 501c4s, you know, and that type of thing with the IRS scandal, you know that they had data pulling on the NSA. You know that they're putting together enemies lists. And we've all, anybody who's on, you know, on social networks knows that, you know, conservatives and Christians are, it's a war against conservatives and Christians because you can't move this utopian, socialistic, communistic event into this country until you destroy the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Well, the only people standing up for it are Christians and conservatives. The rest of them all want this socialist utopia and open borders. And so when you look at this thing, you realize how much energy, time, and money, and organizations, and Soros, and all his groups, and the mainstream media, and all the damn rhinos, and Karl Rove, and the RNC, you know, who, you know, the average Republican, I think, got a real wake-up call in this last election, but the Tea Party was that effective, and I think what you're going to find is a resurgent, a new energy, and a pissed-off energy of people rising up with justification. This is what has always made America a great military, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, you have a demoralized military and you'll lose wars. But when people believe they're fighting for the right reasons, Americans are unstoppable. And right now they were our military is demoralized. We do not want to get in war with Russia and with China backing them. No, not with their new militaries. Our military has been falling apart and used up over the last 12, 14 years, and they've built theirs. But I don't want to get off track. But this concept of what you were talking about, when you look at the people in the House and the Senate that are getting all the attention and all the abuse, you know, the Rand, yep. the Amash and Cruz and Lee and Gowdy, who I just say Gowdy's great, and, you know, yeah. these guys that are standing up for constitutional principles, for the Fourth Amendment, the Second Amendment, this is the people that will create a movement if people will work behind the scenes and stand behind good people. 2014 yep. is a total win, and that's what yep. these people fear. The more than anything, yeah. I guarantee you, they fear the rhinos fear losing their power in the House. The Senate fears, the Dems fear that you're going to get control by people like Rand and Cruz and more of those guys. And so what's going to happen is reform is coming. And really, you shouldn't have to reform America. You know, America is the reform country, but it needs to be reformed. This is how
we need to be reformed.
What we're doing. Yeah,
no, we
it's
need to be reformed.
What's going on around the world?
Yes, the form, the Constitution hasn't changed. Now, there's a couple of amendments that I think need to be pulled, 16th and 17th, principally.
Right.
All right, but basically, the Constitution is there. The problem is that the politicians don't adhere to it, and it's because we're not holding them accountable. The Constitution is just a piece of parchment that codifies the principles. And people are under the impression these days that somehow the Constitution gives them rights. It doesn't give you any rights. You already have rights to you by nature and given to you by nature's God. The Constitution merely tells the federal government, the people who have sovereign rights have given you these 18 powers, which are also responsibilities. So it's like, you know, border security. Yeah, we'll think about that. No, it's a responsibility of more than 18 powers. Protect the friggin' country. Okay? And then it's got, and you know, I'll give a tip to Barack Obama, even though I think he's a constitutional moron, not a constitutional scholar. But he did say that the Bill of Rights is a series of negative powers. Well, it's true. The Bill of Rights are negative protections because basically it tells the federal government what it cannot do. The Bill of Rights doesn't give you any rights. You already have those rights. What it does is it tells the federal government these are the rights that the people already have pre-existing to the republic, pre-existing to the revolution, pre-existing to the founding of the new world that you cannot take away. But see, the problem with that is those are just words unless they're enforced. How do you enforce them? Well, the proper enforcement mechanism, who is supposed to make sure that the laws of the republic are upheld, is the militia of the several states. And the militia is every single able-bodied American from 16 to 60, well-trained in a statutory militia in order to enforce the laws. And if there are 300 million armed and trained people in this country who are being governed by a small group of representatives, it is unlikely that those representatives are going to be able to go outside of the bounds of the Constitution. That's what you have to get back to. You are the power. You are the sovereign. And what you need to do is send people who will represent you. See, what most of these guys think is they're not representatives. They think it's their office. They're doing you a favor by ruling you. No. We're sending you in servant, not as a ruler. But there are very few that think that way. Rand Paul is one of them. Justin Amash, Gowdy, Ted Cruz. And actually, you mentioned the Tea Party. Who's one of the most powerful Tea Party figures you can think of, Chris?
Bachman.
Yeah, there's another one that I think is even more powerful.
Oh, you're talking about in power?
No.
Right,
just not necessarily in official power, but who has power, let's say.
Who has power? Oh, well, I think of Palin. I think of Newt. I think of Palin. Ron Paul.
Yeah. Sure, Ron Paul's got a lot of power because he's inspired a huge intellectual movement, and he's still out there working. But, yeah, Sarah Palin. Now, Sarah Palin is in a very unique position because she can actually make or break a candidate. She has that kind of clout. And she unfortunately recently decided to come back to Fox News. I'm not sure if they needed her so badly because their ratings sucked that maybe she pulled off a better deal. But I got 4 minutes. Unfortunately, it's with those those morons on the morning, you know, the Fox and douchebags or Fox and whatever the hell they call that show.
I agree group.
Yeah, the yes, I'm a vapid fool that's going to just repeat whatever Ailes tells me to say line. But Sarah Palin's on
there.
They are nice. I mean, look, I like Ducey. He's a nice guy. But come on, I mean, you know, not necessarily an intellectual powerhouse and certainly not willing to stand on too many principles. And then another guy, Kilmeade. I mean, come on. He's not doing sports. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. But nevertheless, Sarah Palin was on there with the Fox and morons. And their guest was Ted Cruz. It's about a four-minute clip. You want to hear it?
You bet.
Here we go.
You know what I wish that Congress would do? Man, just for a week, perhaps, just put themselves on Cruz control and the Ted Cruz control. Just for a week, and let's see where things go. I think we'd see some solutions.
Good line. Governor Sarah Palin delivering those passionate remarks this weekend at the Faith and Freedom Coalition. But what does she mean by Cruz control?
Well, this morning, Texas Senator Ted Cruz joins us live. So let's ask the governor, what do you mean by that? There's a
that Senator. Was the best line ever.
It was a great line.
Oh, good.
Terrific.
Oh, good morning, Senator Cruz.
Good morning, Governor. It is always great to be with you.
Thank you so much. You know what I meant, though, right? I'm saying let someone like a Senator Cruz have some say in these policies and in this debate. Don't stifle his voice. Please, colleagues of Senator Cruz, let him speak. Let us hear some solutions.
Well, I certainly think it would help if we got back to the principles our country was founded on. And I think we're seeing more and more leaders in Washington standing up, and to be honest, a big part of the reason has been the example that Governor, you have played and the fearlessness with which you have advocated conservative principles. We've seen a whole new generation of leaders that have suddenly magically discovered a backbone.
That's nice of you to say. Can we ask you a little bit about the NSA? You know, we've got this leaker guy, this Edward Snowden, who has revealed what our government has been doing behind our backs. Are you comfortable with how big the NSA has gotten in our lives?
It certainly is cause for concern. I think it depends on what the contours of the program are, and I don't think we should rush to judgment or jump to conclusions. But, you know, part of the problem is we've seen a pattern from the Obama administration, whether it's the IRS, whether it's targeting journalists, whether it's Benghazi, of a willingness to use the machinery of government to implement political and partisan ends and then to mislead the American people about it. And in that context, it makes it very difficult when the administration's response on the NSA is just trust us,
right?
Because their conduct has not suggested that they're trustworthy.
And sure. Senator, I'll tell you what, yesterday Dennis McDonough on Face the Nation said he told you guys everything. That's the one thing about his administration with the NSA program. They've been transparent with Congress.
Well, with respect to the NSA, those briefings have focused almost entirely on two very small committees, the Senate Committee and House Intelligence Committee, and beyond that, most members of Congress were kept totally in the dark. But virtually all of us learned about this program from watching the media, from the leaks that came out publicly, and we didn't learn about it from the administration directly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, despite what the administration is saying, then perhaps it's a freshman, Senator Cruz, you didn't get the memo. And here you are, you know, trying along with the rest of us to figure out what the heck is going on there and how it impacts our lives.
Well, sure, and you know, you and I both know too much power in Washington is a dangerous thing. I mean, the foundation of our country was the idea that we don't trust this administration. To be honest, we don't trust any administration. That's what the Constitution was built on, is it shouldn't be trust that protects our liberties. It should be the Constitution.
Sure.
Amen.
All right. Senator Ted Cruz today joining us from the beautiful city of San Antonio, Texas. Sir, thank you very much for joining us today here on Fox and Friends.
Thank you, and by the way, I think the Heat are winning in six.
No, you think the Spurs are winning.
Seven.
Don't
I
you mean Spurs?
Seven.
Oh, boy.
I did. I was just saying if you were catching. I took my dad to the Spurs last
That's
night, and we saw a fantastic
game. All right, whatever. Back to the real points. Pretty powerful stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm going to sneeze.
Go for it. Just mute yourself.
Okay. I had to mute.
It's live radio. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what do you do? Well, I was just reading an article while I was listening to Cruz and Palin through one ear and reading an article by this guy, Scotsman.com, Gerald Warner, and was talking about, Putin's rise to world recognition because he's standing on what the U.S. used to stand on, and the U.S. is standing on what the USSR used to stand on, and the clash of these things. And I think that's what we're experiencing both internationally and at home with what you were just playing on that clip, that we're fighting for things we shouldn't have to be fighting for. That's the part, I think, that where people get a little disillusioned. And you and I have talked about this before, that in our comments about, people trying to hold on to the past. And I've said before that the challenge with Christians in this society is they want to go back to the Leave It to Beaver 1950s, and it ain't ever going to happen. The world has changed. It's too big. We need to progress, but progress not in a progressive way, liberal Marxism, but we need to progress in a world that has changed. And we need to get up, and we need to be involved. We need to vote. While the RNC is spending all their time and energy trying to figure out how to make 11 million illegals legal so that they'll vote for Democrats, it's stupid. But the bottom line is that conservatives and Christians have quit voting, and all they got to do is people like Cruz and Rand and Palin and Newton, people who speak, that whether it's the Reagan or the libertarian or, the conservative libertarian like Rand Paul or whatever the case may be, but these are universal talking points, and we need to reach the people who have given up and said, why bother voting? Because that's the mass of this country. Yeah, and the thing is people are hiding. They're hiding in their homes, they're hiding in their churches, and they need to get out and become citizens again. And this goes back to something you were saying earlier. There was a thought that flashed into my mind. And when you go back to our founding fathers, they said this liberty thing they put together would never work if you did not have an educated, involved population. Because otherwise, oligarchs are always going to seize power. And I have enough years of my life to have seen our social system crash, our morals crash, the rise of MTV, and I joke about it once in a while, talking about, this is the end result that we're living today. The American Idol, Dancing with the what you call douchebags, reality TV show. This all came. I watched the MTV generation. I watched the dynamics of making all these movie stars and these music stars, all superstars in people's lives. I watched them evolve over to, and it evolved over to the sports figures. We used to always respect people who were successful and were stars and had accomplished great things in their lives. John Wayne used to come up to Juneau, Alaska, where I lived, before he died, every summer. Yep. And it was always great to go, hey, John Wayne came here. And that was great. But the thing is they became our gods in this country. Yep. We got caught up in every facet of their lives. Now, people are stupid. That video you talked about that was in my state of that kid going around asking basic fundamental questions about the country that kids couldn't even answer. And I'm thinking, I don't think I did well in school, but I knew what the hell my basic foundation of my country was, the Constitution, the prayer, the pledge,
there's a different agenda back then.
Revolution. They didn't even know what the hell the Revolutionary War was, these kids, in that interview. Yeah. And we have got to educate people. Yeah. Well, and the other big one, and the big one that frustrates the hell out of me is that people don't understand our economic system. Because more people, thank God for Ron Paul, because if more people understood our economic system, the voting would change in this country. People don't realize there is an adjustment coming. You saw the stock market just freak out when Bernanke got on there.
Don't worry about it. It'll
be up next week. but it's all funny money. It's all printed money.
It'll be up next week on its way down
on its way down like you've never seen it go down before. But yeah,
oh,
you're right.
God.
I mean, and the lack of history is key, because if you don't know your foundation, you don't know where you come from, you don't know what your culture is about. And that's your culture. If your ancestors came over on the Mayflower or with John Smith, or if they flew in, you know, on a TWA flight 20 years ago, that's still your heritage. If you're an American who came in through the front door, okay? And if you don't understand that, and if you've got the whole J.P. Morgan Keynesian economic agenda plowed into your head as opposed to a real economic agenda, which if you really want to understand economics, you'd better study Austrian economics. Best place to look that up. Go to Mises.org. There's plenty of free data on there. There's even course studies. You can do a self-study. It's all highlighted, and just study it. You know, you don't have to go too in-depth. I mean, Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt is just a great place. That'll give you more understanding than 90% of people who graduate with an economics degree from higher learning institutions in this country. So get that. And if you want to have a moral foundation that's commensurate with these United States and true free market Austrian economics, also check out acton.org. It's the foundation of religion and liberty. That's very helpful also. But yeah, you're
Heritage
absolutely right.
Heritage is pretty good too.
Heritage has some good stuff. Sometimes they tend a little neocon, but I think with Dement there, things are changing. But I think the important thing, and Ron Paul said this, is that before you can have a revolution, and what he's talking about is a revolution within our form, because the Constitution hasn't been repealed. It's just not being followed. So what we need is a revolution to get back to our fundamental principles, and a revolution in the form can happen only if there's an intellectual revolution, because you have to know what it is that you're fighting for. But beyond that, you have to have a reason, and that reason is always some transcendent purpose, and liberty is a transcendent purpose. It is about doing what you ought to do with your life and helping others do the same thing, and that's why you know, we were told that this Constitution is inadequate for anybody who's not a religious and moral people. But, you know, it's begun, and are things going to get worse? Probably. But that's no reason to give up. And for all of those people who have given up on, you know, it's a two-party duopoly, we're done. Well, you know, fix the ballot access at your local state level so that there isn't a duopoly. It's not going to happen at the federal level. You're going to have to do it locally and get other parties involved. There's other parties. There's other candidates. There's independents. There's Constitution Party, even some libertarians. The idea is that more choices, more diffusion of power, more local autonomy is going to be what rights this ship. So get busy on that. It's very important for people who've given up, you know, Christians who've somehow managed to decipher, you know, John's apocalypse or the book of Ezekiel and have decided that, you know, the Antichrist is coming and the world is over. You know, maybe that's true, but the Bible specifically says that no one will know when the end is coming, not even the Son, not even Jesus knows, only the Father. So you're not supposed to live your life with some kind of anticipation that it's literally the end of the world. You're supposed to live your life as a witness to truth, to help others find their way to truth, and to stand up for what is right and good and beautiful, irrespective of whether the world ends tomorrow or in a million years. So not voting is shirking your civic duty of being involved in the process to make sure that oligarchs and corporatists and Keynesians don't take over the country. You can't sit back. If you're in fact a real Christian, you're not a pew-sitting, listening to your pastor's nice homily about loving each other and passing out candy and some bullshit like that. If you're a true Christian, you were made for combat. You were made for combat, not for some kind of social gospel. You were made to fight evil and stand for truth. And if you really think about it, whether you're a Christian believer, whether you're secular, or even a moral atheist or agnostic or whatever, okay, it doesn't matter. That's the principles that America was founded on. Standing up for truth and justice and fairness and what's good and defeating evil. That doesn't mean you run around across the world looking for monsters to slay. It means you lead by example by living a good life here at home instead of having a police state and instead of mucking around in other people's backyards where we don't belong.
Well, especially if you're doing it for a bunch of bankers in Europe that are trying to destroy your country. I mean, come on, wake up, people. You know, none of this is difficult. You know, you said some key things. I think about Paul, not to get all scriptural and everything, but, you know, at the end, he said, I have run my race well. You know, he stayed in full motion his whole life. And I've always, you know, been, I, you know, I I really like, you know, Ephesians and talking about, you know, the battle that you're fighting. You know, this whole thing of peace on earth and everybody should, you know, love each other and there's going to be peace on earth. I'm thinking, no, that's not what it says. It says there's going to be some crap happen and there's going to be some wars and there's going to be some really evil people, you know, and there's going to be some real serious things happen. And you're supposed to do it and live righteously anyway. You're supposed to, you know, serve mankind. You're supposed to be involved. You're supposed to, you know, you're not of this world, but you live in this world until you die. And yep. And it's just amazing to me how complacent that the Christian community, and I'm not saying all Christians, but a lot of them have become. This government was put together, you know, with some very deep thought about citizen governance, you know, being yep. a citizen and not being a servant. These people had the opportunity to look at the history of the world and look at all of the natural nature of man is to take, I mean, you look at the basic Ten Commandments, but the nature of man is not really good. That's a problem with liberals and I think sometimes with libertarians, is they think that we're all going to be at peace if we just kind of like all accept everybody else. And no, it's not that way, because when everybody drops Kumbaya. Their guard, bad people take over. You have to have a little piss and vinegar and fight and being willing to draw the sword, you know, and protect and be, you know, and be righteous and not just be at peace. You know, being at peace is more in terms of eternity than it is life on earth. And
right.
I don't know. I don't know what book these people are reading, but you know, I've spent my lifetime studying this book, and you know, and
I think they're reading the Gospel according to Marx.
Yeah, no kidding. And they've stolen all of the great concepts, you know, biblical concepts, and used it to pervert. You know, it's like welfare. One of the worst. I mean, it's one of the worst things you can do to another human being is to make them dependent on you. On somebody
right.
else, on a system, you know, to turn government
I don't remember,
into God. You
know? I don't remember reading that story in the Bible where, you know, the Good Samaritan held
fish.
Up the next two guys that came along the way and said, "You better take care of this guy or I'll shoot you." You know, look, remember, what we know is that the devil knows Scripture very well, and he turns it on its
mm-hmm.
ear. So the whole, you know, touchy-feely, nice, namby-pamby, social gospel, and well-intentioned liberal agenda, that's all couching the truth, which is to make people dependent and make them slaves, and you're seeing the fruits of it now, and it's time for but stand on your own and help your fellow man voluntarily get on his own two feet. That's something you should do on your own volition. You don't hire government thugs to do it for you. So quit being lazy, quit being backseat Christians or museum pieces, and get off your butts and engage the world. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what all people of goodwill are supposed to do, whether they're Christians, Jews, Muslims, atheists, Hindus, or whatever. The fact is that the principles this country are founded on, the true principles of authentic liberty, appeal to everybody. They appeal to everybody. But it is not a spectator sport. It's full contact. And you better get in there. Because if you don't get in there and get it done and get others involved, then you're going to be bowled over by the oligarchs, just like Chris said. And the most important thing we talked about earlier, education and a sound culture and people with a moral understanding, and it doesn't have to be particularly theological. Your salvation is between you and God, okay?
Right.
But our lives together have to be based on moral principles that are known to every human being that's ever lived because it's part of the natural order. We just happen to disrupt it frequently, but we got to get back to that, and it's never going to be perfect. But in order to have this information, you actually have to have an independent source of information. And it can't be just a couple of loudmouths with a blog talk radio show. It has to truly be a legitimate free press. Okay? That's the important thing. But what have we got? And it's not just Obama, although he happens to be the dictator in command right now, but it's the entire government structure that is taking out that First Amendment right to the freedom of the press. And how are they doing it? Well, it's corporate-owned media, but then every once in a while someone decides to not play ball. Someone like, oh, I don't know, Ben Swan at Fox 19 in Cincinnati, who's now gone on his own with Ben Swan, full disclosure. Or maybe even someone like Ed Rosen, who suddenly finds himself, you know, on Eric Holder's, or the AP who has all their records culled, or, you know, any number of journalists who are truly out there doing their job. Look, oh, I don't know, Michael Hastings. Gee, Rex, who's Michael Hastings? I've never heard of him. Well, he's actually a real journalist, and he was onto something. He was onto some case in Florida. He was doing an investigation about the FBI and the Department of Justice and privacy infringements and all sorts of stuff that's related to what's going on with Snowden and the NSA and all that kind of stuff. And he even declared, short before he recently died, that there is in this country a war on the press. And this should not be defended by liberal assholes just because the current president is a liberal asshole. This is something that everybody in good conscience needs to stand up for, because whether you agree with what the journalist or the editorial or the press says or not, having a free press is integral to having a free society. And here I'm going to play you 45 seconds of Michael Hastings, and I'm going to tell you what happened to him.
The Obama administration has clearly declared war on the press. It's declared war on investigative journalists, our sources. I think the only recourse to this kind of behavior by the government is to say back to the government, we declare war on you, and from this point forward, we should no longer, as a media, as a whole, cooperate in any manner with the government in terms of when we're doing national security stories. We should withdraw all our cooperation, and we should publish everything we know, because it's a free press, and it's not a free except for when the government tells me to do it press. And we've been way too easy going with these guys. We've let them get away with this for years. We've let them tell us what to print, what not to print. And I say be done with it, and everybody should just get together and fire back, because no one else is going to defend the press.
You familiar with that guy, Chris?
Yeah, not as much as, you know, I'm still getting caught up on him, but I remember that.
Well, he had the general, I forget his name now. McSomething. Anyway, he exposed that story, and you know, he's a true investigative journalist. And interestingly enough, you know, his car slammed into a small palm tree in Hollywood this week, and it blew up. But
his engine went like 100 feet or something.
Yeah, the eyewitnesses say that the car came careening down at high speeds, and it was already on fire, and then it hit the tree. And the front of the – now, where's the gas tank? Where's the
back.
Gas tank? By the way, it was the crystal. That was the general that he kind of took down. But anyway, the gas tank's in the back. But interestingly enough, this car blew up in the front. And the engine, well, like you said, went flying 100 feet. The front of the engine was the car was completely obliterated, and it was on fire and basically exploded several times before it hit the palm tree. The official story is it was, you know, a car accident and combustion. I've seen Hollywood movies with Bruce that didn't have cars blow up like this. So, you know, it's very dubious. Now, we don't have the full story, but clearly this guy was on somebody's list of not playing ball and being a good corporate shill, like, oh, I don't know, Mike Huckabee or Rachel Maddow or Chris Matthews or any of these other morons that just spew crap,
well,
like, you know, Bill O'Reilly and all these other idiots. He's actually a journalist.
Really?
And,
oh, really?
And he met a fiery end. So I think that's pretty.
Well, the thing is that he said to people before he died that, you know, I'm being investigated and I'm going to ground, you know, I'm going to cover because, you know, they're after me. And that was his last communications to people going, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, back to that thing early on when we first started the show, you know, these idiots that walk around going, well, you know, I ain't doing nothing wrong, so why should I care? You know, you break laws every day. There's so many damn laws on the book. You break laws every day, so you're doing nothing wrong in the youth of your life. And then later on, you start getting political as you get older, which usually happens with maturity. And you start realizing that people are screwing your damn country and you're sick and tired of paying taxes, you know, so we can fight wars and invade other countries and bail out, you know, socialist countries who hate us. And you know what I'm saying? And then one day you finally wake up and you get a little more political. You get involved. Next thing you know, your whole past comes out of nowhere. That's why you do not. That's why the Fourth Amendment is so important, the right to privacy and these other issues. And when you start looking around you, like, you know, I said earlier, you know, the IRS scandal, the Rosin scandal, this situation with Hastings, the whistleblowers, the numbers of whistleblowers that have been prosecuted and gone after by this administration, And then you go to the other side of the aisle and you look at, you know, the whole conspiracy theories, you know, the whole issues on why did we go to Iraq in the first place? What the hell are we doing in Afghanistan? Now we're talking to the Taliban. They've been killing our people for years. They were, you know, behind 9/11. Now we're negotiating with them. People start wondering what the hell is going on, and you get to a point where asking questions and trying to educate yourself can become, you can be targeted for that. That's how serious this shit is.
Yep.
I'm not some Rebel Alex Jones type. I'm not a Glenn Beck. You know, I'm not out there, you know, just putting it all on the line, spending millions of dollars in investigations and shows. You know, I'm just some knucklehead living my life going, I don't like the direction my country's going. It's not right. It's wrong. It's not the country I grew up in. And to think that, you know, I'm now targeted or potentially targeted because of that, I'm just a citizen. You know what I mean? Yep. Struggling along in a bad economy that I didn't create. I'm sick of these bastards destroying my economy every 8 to 10 years and costing me, you know, hundreds of thousands or a million bucks every time they do it. You know what I mean? I'm getting older. I'm tired of starting over. Working my ass off my whole life to enjoy some wealth, you know, and semi-retired at different levels in my at young ages of my life, and then end up having to get up and work 100 hours a week again. Every time these bastards, and then they always get bailed out, and then we pay for it, and then we have arguments about, you know, the rich should pay more, and I'm like going, Jesus, criminy, it's not even legal what they're doing.
That's right.
You know, the income tax, I love Cruz. IRS is not even a legal institute.
No.
You know,
it's illegal, unconstitutional.
I mean, I don't want to get into the flat tax versus fair tax, but, you know, can you imagine paying 7, 8, 10% flat tax and just simple, that's it? Can you imagine debt load? I mean,
there are constitutional ways to pay taxes, but it's kind of a moot point as long as your currency is based on bullshit. You know, you got to get back to a sound currency, and that's why, like Ron Paul says, repeal 1913, and the Fed and the IRS, repeal the 17th Amendment, restore the militia. You do those four things, this country will be on a fast track to liberty and success and to actually be a beacon and example in the world.
Yeah.
What's that?
Getting the senators back to being responsible to the states. Oh, my God. That is huge. People don't understand.
Yeah, see, but that's a problem for guys like Reid and Schumer and Graham and Jane McCamad. There's entrenched powers, and you have to fight them. But there's more of us than there is of them. We have the power. The problem is we don't know how to use it, and a lot of us are cowed into fear. You either jump on the extreme conspiracy fringe, and what I mean by that is conspiracies that have little verifiable fact. There are conspiracies going on. The Federal Reserve is a conspiracy. There are some of them that are very verifiable. Others of them involve aliens and lizard people, and you get it on all sorts of fringe lunatic crap, which is just a distraction, and I suspect it's put forward by the same quote.
Everything's a false flag.
it's the same new world order that you are fighting that is feeding you this bullshit to distract you. And then on the other hand, you got the whole, you know, Mad Max prepper survivalist waiting for doomsday kind of thing. Look, it's not going to be pretty, and no matter how well you've prepped, it's going to suck. And most of you, no matter how well prepared you think you are not going to survive in that kind of a world. So rather than prepping for the disaster, why don't we get off our asses and work for preventing the disaster from happening by taking down this illegal power structure and restoring the republic? You do it one step at a time. You find somebody at the federal level who you can get behind. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Justin Amash. You find someone at the local level who do the same thing. You elect a good sheriff. You talk to your local representatives about having the state legislature and the governor revitalize the militia, the statutory militia pursuant to the Constitution, not some National Guard under the president, but an actual statutory state militia. Right. Get these things done, and it's not going to happen quickly. It took us over 100 years to get here. You're not going to turn it around in two election cycles, but you'd better damn well get 2014 right. And the only way you're going to get it right is to have a Liberty Movement Tea Party wave like we did in 2010, but this time, don't let the rhinos appropriate it. Don't vote for a douchebag like Marco Rubio because he's more conservative than Charlie Crist. Vote for a real conservative. Do you agree with him on everything?
Article?
No. But do you agree with him on most things? Yes. Which one? The one about Rubio?
No, yeah, the one that the gal that has a radio show in Florida, oh, boy, she was lighting him up. She was mad.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, she helped him
he's
get
a Manchurian
elected.
Candidate.
Yeah, she helped him get elected, and she looked him in the face and said, what is it that you stand for? What do you believe on these issues? And you better not be screwing me, because if you lie to me, I'm going to chew you up. And she goes after him hardcore.
Good.
She didn't pull any punches.
He's a sleeper. He's a sleeper douchebag. He's not a conservative. Quit falling for Republicans who sound conservative or wear their religion on their sleeve or talk about
their
religion.
Yeah, it doesn't matter
how
much he looks like Ricky Ricardo. Get over it.
Yeah, whatever. Ricky Ricardo. I'll tell you what, Marco, you got some splaining to do with your stupid votes. But kind of bringing back a point here, and I was talking about, you know, we were talking about education history and religious education and really understanding what your principles are, being culturally American, no hyphen, just be American, care where you came from, what religion you are, how old you are, what your heritage is. There are principles that are fundamentally American, and we agree upon them, and if we don't have a common culture, we'll bifurcate like a Balkan mess. We're one nation made up of 50 sovereign states, and each one of those states has millions of sovereign individuals. It's a system of power ballast against power ballast. It's never going to be perfect. There's always going to be a push and pull, but right now we're tilted the wrong way, and we've got to pull it back, and the weight is on our side. There's more of us, there is of them. But most of us are too stupid, and we stay quiet, and we keep watching the corporate-controlled media for answers. Now, you want to talk about corporate-controlled media, and this is going to tie in what we just talked about with Hastings, who was blown to bits, okay, and Greenwald, who's another reporter, who happens to be the one who interviewed Snowden, who
somewhere... Oh, yeah, he did a good article.
All right, now this is... what's the Meet the Press, something... Gregory, right? This is Greenwald with him. It's a two-and-a-half-minute clip. It's very revealing about the information that you were getting, whether it's in the alternate media, which has a lot of fringe lunatics that are designed to twist your mind so that you actually become a tool of the very enemies you think you're fighting, and you become a useful idiot of the progressives, as well as the corporate-controlled media, which has some people who are legitimately information out there, and others who are nothing more than apologists for the power elite and corporatist-controlled government. And Gregory is one of those dildos. Listen to him.
You are a polemicist here. You have a point of view. You are a columnist. You're also a lawyer. You do not dispute that Edward Snowden has broken the law, do you?
No, I think he's very clear about the fact that he did it because his conscience compelled him to do so, just like Daniel Ellsberg did 50 years ago when he released the Pentagon Papers and also admits that he broke the law. I think the question, though, is how can he be charged with espionage? He didn't work for a foreign government. He could have sold this information for millions of dollars and enriched himself. He didn't do any of that either. He stepped forward, and as we want people to do in a democracy, as a government official, learned of wrongdoing and exposed it so we could have a democratic debate about the spying system. Do we really want to put people like that in prison for life when all they're doing is telling us as citizens what our political officials are doing in the dark?
Final question for you, but I'd like you to hang around. I just want to get Pete Williams in here as well. To the extent that you have aided and abetted Snowden, even in his current movements, why shouldn't you, Mr. Greenwald, be charged with a crime?
I think it's pretty extraordinary that anybody who would call themselves a journalist would publicly muse about whether or not other journalists should be charged with felonies. The assumption in your question, David, is completely without evidence, the idea that I've aided and abetted him in any way. The scandal that arose in Washington before our stories began was about the fact that the Obama administration is trying to criminalize investigative journalism by going through the emails and phone records of AP reporters, accusing a Fox News journalist of the theory that you just embraced, being a co-conspirator in felonies for working with sources. If you want to embrace that theory, it means that every investigative journalist in the United States who works with their sources, who receives classified information, is a criminal. And it's precisely those theories and precisely that climate that has become so menacing in the United States. It's why the New Yorker's Jane Mayer said investigative reporting has come to a standstill, her word, as a result of the theories that you just referenced.
Well, the question of who's a journalist may be up to a debate with regard to what you're doing. And of course, anybody who's watching this understands I was asking a question. That question has been raised by lawmakers as well. I'm not embracing anything, but obviously, I take your point. Ms. Greenwald, just stay put, if you would, for just a moment. I want to bring in Pete Williams. I appreciate you dealing with the delay as well.
I was just asking, that was a seriously loaded question, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, he basically accused him of aiding and abetting a traitor.
You know what? I know why Snowden picked him now. That guy's freaking sharp.
Here's the problem with here's the problem with what they're doing with, you know, culling the AP records and going after Rosen and other reporters. You know, a reporter's supposed to report so that we get the information that we need. It's not like these reporters are the wonking into the NSA or anything else and getting these state secrets. If you're going to go after somebody, go after, quote, the leaker or the person who committed espionage. But in the case of Snowden, I don't see how he's committed espionage, considering the fact that he told us that our government is violating the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. They don't have that option.
Let me throw this out just as a perspective, which is, and this blows me away with as these scandals unfolded. The left media, you know, built their empire on being the whistleblowers, the exposers, the human, you know, the whether it was human rights or environmental issues or, you know, chemical plants poisoning people. These people, you know, most of them were liberals. You know, they got into news, and they built their careers on being bold, on being on the edge, on being the whistleblowers, whether it was the issues about the nicotine being added, you know, chemicals added to cigarettes to make people – remember that whole issue and all those lawsuits and the movie was made with Al Pacino? These are all freaking liberals, and to have liberals defend what this administration is doing – is just beyond me, which tells me more than anything else is that they're either all liars or they've all bought the socialistic Marxists. You know, they, as they've gotten older, they've lost that liberty type, that Democrats love to claim, you know, the human rights or the, you know, the truth squads. You know, you look at where all this evolved out of was the Vietnam War, where this whole new journalism, you know, exposing government, exposing corruption, exposing corporatism, you know, those were all liberals. Those were the 60s generation. And now they're all embedded in power, and they're chirping the hard line of a neocon Marxist in power. It's just mind-boggling to me that these people can defend this shit, personally.
Well, it's four legs good, two legs bad, right, until you get into the farmhouse, and then, fuck it, we're going to stand on two legs. You know, they're all just power-hungry pigs. I mean, Orwell nailed it in Animal Farm. I know we've been talking a lot lately about Orwell's 1984, published in 1949, talking about the totalitarian state. But, you know, he also wrote another book called Animal Farm, which is a very simple, easy book. You get through it in about an hour, and you should if you haven't already read it. And if you've read it, read it again, because it kind of gives you the philosophical premise of what's going on. I mean, you know, remember the entire left media and the entire left populace, right, you know, was out there. Bush lied. People died, giving us daily casualty tolls from Iraq and all this stuff.
What do you hear now?
You know, and quiet now, all right? But what do we got? We got Obama's got, you know, Bush's war program, more of a Cheney's war program, on steroids, and we're quiet about it. And now we're apologists for
a
police
king.
State. We're apologists for killing people with drones. We're apologists for people going after the free press. It, you know why? Because your guy's in power. Well, any power that he gets, the same powers you were pissed off that George Bush created for himself and the Congress gave him, well, Obama has those powers now, so you're all excited. Well, who's next? The problem is that it's not a party. It's not about ideology. It's not about anything. It's about the simple fact that this power shouldn't be entrusted to a single body, which is what the Constitution is designed to do. And on that point, whether you're on the left, the right, in the middle, north, south, I don't give a shit. On that point, you should be in agreement. If you limit the power, then you have more autonomy. And then your ideas and your principles and your initiatives and your policies have to win on their own merits in the free marketplace of ideas within the constitutional framework. If you're too much of a pussy to put forward those ideas and defend them in a free market where you have to force them at the end of a gun, then maybe your ideas suck. And that goes for all of you assholes on the left and assholes on the right. This is about America. And you'd better get involved and quit playing the party politics game. It's just insanity. So, you know, very simple. We've got to get our heads right. We've got to focus on what's important and quit getting distracted by minor tertiary issues that in normal times may be your cause célèbre of the day. But right now, your only cause should be the Constitution, not, you know, whether it's legal or not legal to smoke grass in your parents' basement, or whether you can look up porn on the internet. You know, Mexicans are nice people and should be given free rein in this country, okay? Let's focus on the Constitution. The Constitution is the issue. That's the issue. Get that right. Put the government back in its box. Get some sound money. Quit destroying half the globe and interfering in places we don't belong in and creating new enemies. And then we can have
you imagine? Can you imagine if we had a 10% debt load on our country right now?
Yeah, that's the whole
and
point.
And like a 10% flat tax, what this country would be booming.
Maybe nine.
Booming.
That's one thing I'll give Herman Cain the nod on the 9%.
Yeah.
If I give God 10%, I shouldn't have to give my government
more. or seven like Russia. But, I mean, you know, you just think about that. And all these people and all these arguments we've had for 4 years with Obama and the crap that he pushes, you know, the tax the rich, the social programs, you know, a lot of people don't even know that the food stamp and the abuse, you know, is in the farm bill. I mean, it's like, what the hell is a food stamp doing in the farm bill? I mean, it's so far out of control, Rex. You know, if Newt's whole thing of being energy independent, so we don't bow to Saudi kings. I mean, my God, Saudi's a Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda that we're in bed with all over the Middle East, that we're invading countries and toppling sovereign nations, you know, so that the Saudis can have their Sunni caliphate, you know, around the Middle East. I mean, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? When you think about some of the insanity that we're involved in, you know, the older I get, the more I respect Ron Paul's isolationist mindset. And I know that some of it is just a little bit overboard, but because it's a small world and we're involved everywhere, but the shit we're doing around the world, you got to be kidding me. And it's blowing up, and it's getting worse, and it's blowing up in our face. I mean, 12, 14, 13 years in Afghanistan, you know, our men are dying left and right, and we're negotiating with the Taliban, who we went there to defeat. I mean, are you serious?
Yeah.
Iraq, you know, all the blood, sweat, and tears, and money, and cost, and debt, and the blood of our youth and disabled vets, and Iraq is a mess. You know, they're killing 1,000 a month of their own people, and al-Nusra, which stems out of there, and al-Qaeda, which is blowing up people every day, you know, that 3, 4, 5 car bombs a frickin' day, you know, they're up in Syria invading another sovereign country, and they're backed by us and being trained by us in Jordan and Turkey. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's just amazing to me. Don't people... Here's something I think maybe listeners will help people. Quit watching U.S. news, and you might learn something. Because there is nothing I can find. Now, I like some of the talk show. You know, there's people I listen to because I trust them. They bring up good material. They do good, you know, investigative journalism. They got good heads on their shoulders. They're not quipping the standard BS neocon bullshit, you know, Republican crap. But, you know, you got to go overseas to get real news on what's going on in the world. And then you got to sift through it and make some intelligent decisions about what you're going to believe or not believe.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, it is, you know, you talk about state-run media, it's here. I grew up in the Cold War. I grew up, you know, the communists, the evil, the communists, the state-controlled media. It's here. The two shows ago? Back in the USSR.
back in the USSR, yeah.
Check
it out on
archives.
Yeah,
who would
go to the
Tex
and Rex show.
We defeated communism to embrace it. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, that's the whole point, is, and I think people have to understand this, because basically, until you realize it's not Republicans, Democrats, it's not Obama, it's not Bush, it's not Romney, okay? It's what you have is you have a communist police state apparatus that's already built. They just need your consent or your agitation, like Tahrir Square or in Turkey or whatever, to Sao Paulo to bring it to fruition. Or they need your consent for you to say, oh, please, everything's so horrible, government, fix it, right? But the communist police state is here, and then you have an imperialist apparatus abroad that is essentially waging a Muslim holy war. I mean, we are spending billions of dollars in training and support and weaponry to support Muslim jihadists who don't want your liberty, don't want your Western values, don't want anything that remotely resembles the kind of life that you aspire to, and we're supporting them. So these hotheads in Washington on both the right and the left are waging a holy jihad against our interests globally. It's insane. Now, we're down to the last 20 minutes of show. There's a couple more things that I want to get into, but real quick, we've got a couple of callers who want to hop on, Chris, so I'm going to bring them on one at a time. First one is Smith Fix, area code 817. You're live with Rex and Chris. What's on your mind regarding hotheads and holy wars?
Oh, well, I like the name of the show, Hotheads and Holy Wars, but, you got nothing on me for angry about what's going on. Can anybody argue with me that we are the most evil nation in the world and being wagged by our tail by Israel? That all the wars
let's be clear. I can agree with you provided we define the terms. When we say that we are an evil nation, no, I do not think that the American people as a nation are evil,
but I definitely think
that our appropriated federal government is acting as an evil power globally and here at home. On that point, I will 100% agree with you.
Agreed, obviously. I mean, 40 million were murdered in Stalinist Russia, but whenever we talk about the USSR, we talk about an evil regime. The United States is the most evil nation in the world today. And we have a man, Snowden, that's being called a traitor because he told the people, because he ratted out the government to the people. That makes him a traitor. Really?
Yep.
Who's their enemy? Aiding the enemy. Well, who's the enemy? You're absolutely right. We are. I was listening to you. Boy, you guys can really rant, by the way. almost on par with me. But when you get right down to it and you say, what are we going to do? And what are we going to do? It's up to the individual. It's never a we thing. It's always going to break down to the us, the individual. What are we as individuals going to do? If you look at what Solzhenitsyn was talking about, he was, his pie in the sky, even in the gulags, the fool, was still acting like if we had done something. No. If the individual says whenever they break out the cuffs today, with the judicial system we have today, looks at that Leo and says no, and then if he has to, kill the Leo.
Well,
does that shock
I agree with you that it is up to the individual.
Does that shock people?
Oh,
when
no,
do
it
we
depends
say
on what you,
no?
It depends on what you mean by Leo. I mean, if we're talking about a local,
a law enforcement officer. They're not peace officers.
Who's supposed? Hold on, but what's a law enforcement officer? Is a law enforcement officer an IRS agent that comes barreling down your door, shoots your dog in order to collect your unpaid taxes? Is a law enforcement officer the SWAT team that's dispatched to the wrong house in the wrong city and ends up shooting the wrong person? Or is a law enforcement officer your sheriff? Is it your sheriff?
Well, it depends.
Or is it you in a properly constituted state militia? Aren't you supposed to be the law enforcement officer?
Aren't I supposed to be the law enforcement officer? I wanted to go with you there on the militia thing too, because I have been approached by four times now. I've been approached by people to join militias because I am all over the internet and I am very, very vocal. And I've been approached four times by people with militias they wanted to start. But when I told them, great, here's the way I do everything. If you're going to join a prepper group that I've set up or anything else, I want to come to your house and meet your family. And they just evaporate. You don't meet their children. Do not be involved with a militia that you have every person's family and their children. Otherwise,
the reason they're running from you is that these aren't militia; these are gangs. It can't be a militia unless it is well regulated, statutory, and organized. Otherwise, it's a gang. Now, if we let the country fall apart, it will be a land of gangs, just like it is over in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan. But if we have a properly constituted militia, then we would all be members of the same militia, well-regulated,
agreed,
and we would be the law enforcement officers, and I'm certainly not going to kick down my neighbor's door and shoot their dog in order to help the IRS collect their taxes. And I don't think you would
agree. Absolutely agreed. But I want folks listening to understand. I was hoping to get on with a lady who was on earlier. Whenever people talk about a militia, okay, that the connotation right away, okay, is armed resistance to tyranny, and that is what they hate. So here's the thing. If you do not meet the family, the children, and go to their homes, do not trust people just because they formed a, quote, militia.
That's right.
The Hutari is a very good example. They are out there to set you up, make you look crazy, file charges, break you financially, destroy you. A judge throws it out later. Nobody hears that the Hutari, they just threw it out of court. Total bull-ass charges. The judge said this is BS and threw the whole thing out, but they're destroyed. Don't set yourself up for that. When you start linking up with people, meet their family, their children. Know who that man is who's standing there talking trash about being a patriot, because he's more than likely, if he's setting one up, to be a Fed.
Right.
I've been there,
yeah,
done that.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. They want to get you all riled up so you'll do a stupid thing, and that gives them the pretext for martial law and police state, just like what happened in Boston. And the very simple fact is, if you want to belong to the militia and you want to be part of a militia, then what you need to do is go to your local representative and get them to put bills through your state government that'll be signed by your governor that'll call up the constitutional militia of the several states pursuant to the requirement. No, it's not an option. It's a requirement in the Constitution that these things exist, and that's not the National Guard. And for all of you listening out there, if you want more information on this, go to www.rt2a.org, and there is some good information there. And also check out the books by Dr. Edwin Vieira Jr. that talks about how this constitutional militia that's made up of every able-bodied American between ages 16 and 60 is the enforcement mechanism of the Constitution that'll be the check against tyranny. It isn't a bunch of free-roaming gangs, you know, might makes right, whoever has the biggest gang rules. It's not Somalia. It is a properly constituted militia that is designed to keep the law of the land and keep the federal government in check. And I appreciate you bringing that point up. I've got a couple other callers to take, so I want to give you an opportunity to get whatever else you had to find out, and then I'm going to take the next caller, which is Piano Butch. Go ahead.
I'll make it real quick. You have more faith than I do in any, quote, representative that we have. I think we're way past that point now. I believe it's all up to the individual. When your individual rights are threatened by anyone, I don't care what their badge is, a piece of paper they're carrying, it is up to you to say enough and not kneel and allow the cuffs to go on. No more cuffs, America.
Well,
not a bad
show. Your
you guys grant damn near as well as I do.
Well, look, we appreciate you calling in, and you know, we're trying to be live 10 p.m. every Sunday. Call in anytime, and we appreciate you spreading the word. And what we try to do is get these conservative constitutional points out to people, let them know what's really going on, and hopefully inspire people to take action.
One more point, folks, you need
to
do Twitter and Facebook and favorite this show, and get out there. You can't hide. Anyone who says that you need to back off because Twitter and Facebook are all, well, what's the surprise? It's time to back up, get in their face. Shows like this, favorite them to Twitter, favorite them on your Facebook. Let people know about shows like this where people talk the real deal. Thank you for the time,
awesome,
brother.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, and we'll see you around.
All right.
All right. I think bye. I believe I've got Piano Butch Live 219. You're on with Chris and Rex
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, Chris and Rex, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Now I don't rant. I'm kind of the shy guy. And I also don't talk fast because I'm from the Deep South, although I'm living near Chicago, you know, the People's Republic of Chicago.
We won't hold that against you.
I want to chime in with something that the last caller said, talking about the caution of being set up. I know a couple of guys in North Georgia, longtime old friends, who sat around at a restaurant up in Helen, Georgia, and talked about the ridiculousness of Obama, and they had an FBI agent actually become a member of their coffee pledge, and wound up charging him with a conspiracy to assassinate the president because they were sitting around the breakfast table just venting. So what he's saying is real and true. They're out there, they're among us, and so pay attention. The secret, and this is what I wanted to add to what he's saying, the secret is dispassionate anger. And I want to tell you, I'm an old guy, and I'm really angry. I'm angry because I know that by the time my father was born in 1900, already there were those forces in place who were trying to take away from him his birthright and the unalienable right of life, liberty, and property. These insidious forces have gathered strength for 113 years since. And for the most part, Americans have been fat, lazy, feeling entitled, and stupid. And I hate to tell you, there's not a hair's bit of difference between Joe Sixpack and the average Harvard professor. They're both tired to absolutely extreme materialism, whatever gives them pleasure, whatever their childish playthings are. You remember the saying all through the 80s and 90s, whoever dies with the biggest collection of toys wins? I mean,
bread and circuses.
What could be more shameful?
Yeah. It's a very valid point, Dan. I agree with you. It's a very valid point. As long as we're distracted by stuff and distracted by our appetites, which are usually disordered, we will not be free because we will be slaves to our vices, and through those vices, the oligarchs will take over our lives. And I think that, you know, we talked about this in the Back in the USSR episode. We were talking about the 1984 model versus the Brave New World model. And the fact is that the Brave New World model is the far easier model because as long as people are distracted and seeking entertainment and pleasure, they won't notice the tyranny that's going on around them. And that's why we've got to wake people up and get them in touch with their constitution. And what you mentioned, which I think is most important, is those unalienable rights to life, liberty, and property.
Absolutely. And we've got to impress on our fellow, our families, the people in our communities, everybody that we talk to. We've got to grasp that this America, this American liberty, this extraordinary blessing of wealth and resources is our last chance. There are no lifeboats. So I'm angry at the manipulators. I'm angry at the manipulators, and I'm angry at the manipulated. In other words, I'm angry at the intelligent people and the stupid people, the sinister and the naive. They both threaten my liberty, and they threaten the liberty of my children. It's time that people start learning, that people start paying attention, because we only have, we're like, 11:58 to midnight. You remember the old atomic clock that they scared everybody to death with, 11:55 to midnight, and midnight was Holocaust? Well, trust me, we're there. And both the sinister and the naive threaten my liberty. And I'm old enough that, I could, go have fun every day and not care, just enjoy my life. But I have children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren.
Yep.
And I don't want to leave them in slavery.
Yeah. None of us do, and I think that's why people have to wake up. And I think you're very right, and we all feel the anger. And here's the thing: It's easy for that anger to be manipulated, and like you mentioned, there are infiltrators that work for the oligarchs who want to stoke that anger in order to get us to do something stupid so that they have a pretext for clamping down with draconian police state measures. And what we have to do is get in touch with truth and light and understand the transcendent and understand your passions. And we are not to be angry, but we are to exercise and act on full righteous indignation. Because we're not angry because we're inconvenienced. We're not angry because our stuff's being taken away. We are angry because what they are doing is intrinsically wrong. And if you're not angry, then you are part of the problem.
Yeah, you're wrong. And that's exactly right. If you're there, you know, you say righteous indignation. I have a hard problem with that because of some religious aspects to it. But I really believe, I use the term dispassionate anger, because dispassionate anger is intellectual. It looks at, you know, Patton was dispassionately angry. He looked at the battlefield, and he looked at the German mindset, and every single time he made fools of them. You understand what I'm saying? That's where we have to be, that dispassionate anger. And we have to teach the naive and speak truth to power. We have to shame the authorities at every chance we get. And let me tell you, if they're recording everything we say, which they are, that's what PRISM is. My voice, your voice right now is permanently recorded. Then we're speaking truth to power. You are liars and deceivers, and we will beat you. And here's the fact. I enjoy every single day. I enjoy my life. I don't have that much of it left, I guess. But I enjoy it. And let me tell you what. It's real life. But every conversation I have, everything I write, and every mental energy that I expend has to do with taking down this power that has set itself up against what is good, what is life, what is beautiful, what is lovely, what is energetic, what creates creativity, what frees minds to invent. Everything that we're facing right now is the opposite of that.
Yep.
And we have to extend all of our mental energy in the right direction, and it's life-producing, not death-producing. Everything we're facing is death-producing. Everything
Correct.
That we are and everything that every energy that we put into it is life-producing. Now, I'll finish. Like I say, I'm not a ranter. I'm not good at this stuff. I stumble around. But I really enjoyed listening to you guys. If it was a rant, I'm too old to know what the hell a rant is, but both everything you said was true, and I'll let you go now.
Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling, Viano, and we'll see you around. And I agree with what you said, and God bless you, and keep up the fight with as you say, dispassionate anger. I like it. Thank you very much.
As a Christian, we have absolutely no right but to engage.
Bingo.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, folks, we're down to the last two. We're down to the last 2 minutes live. I can't take on any more callers, but we're probably going to go into overtime. If you want to listen live as opposed to in the archive, please call in now, 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Chris and I are probably going to run a little bit long, but you can listen live or catch us in archive. We appreciate it, and thank you to both our callers this evening who brought up some very valid points. And I think one of the most important things that we all have to remember is you got to keep a cool head about you. And why things look so terrible now is because these tyrants are in their death throes. This is the time for us to strike victory. All right, Chris, go ahead.
One of the things that I wanted to say, you know, and it's interesting listening to the two callers. I let you do your thing. But one of the things that I try to do and wholeheartedly is I am not here to, you know, create riots and create militias and, you know, fight a cop, you know, from doing his job. You know what I'm saying? There is just something about that that is counter to what my purpose is. My purpose is to educate. You know, this country is a great country, and our system is a great system. And if people would engage in their, you know, like you talk about all the time, in their local politics, get to know their sheriff, you know, get involved, you know, in their state level, and find out who the quality people are that are coming up in 2014, and get a hold of all the people who have decided that not to vote anymore. It just blows me away. You know what I'm saying? And educate people on those components, because that's what I've always felt that you, I, you know, Rex, Robert, you know, the things that we do, the Facebook group, you know, all this stuff is about educating. I've never been one to incite people into violence or into, you know, rebellious things. I'm a conservative. I'm not an anarchist rebel. I respect my military, even though they're being used for nefarious things. I respect my police, even though, you know, we're hiring a lot of idiots lately. You know, I've always respected the sheriffs and the local police a lot more than I have the state police, and, you know, and things like that. But
sure.
But I think that is something that is very, and the reason I'm saying this is because sometimes people, you know, I see people post things, I get uncomfortable with it, you know, because it incites something, you know, it brings out something that I'm like going, that is not the road I'm on. That's not the journey I'm on in my life. You know, I'm here to educate people. I want to talk. I want to do research. I want to educate. Just like the Syria thing, knew nothing about it. You know, something, you know, Israel flies over there and blows up a warehouse in a sovereign nation, and I started a thread, you know, and now we're like almost 2,000 comments because it opened a whole, dynamics as to what our foreign policy and all these different things, you know, found out about Al-Qaeda and who all these rebels were in the country and all this stuff. And you know, it was like nobody was even talking about it. And so that was my purpose. You know, my purpose is not to get up a militia and go there and fight. You know what I mean? That's not the purpose of it. I just think that's important to put that out there because I agree. You know, I mean, I'm a West Coast, Northwest Alaskan, you know, grew up in Oregon, Washington, Alaska, before Oregon and Washington were taken over by Californians. And we were always self-sufficient. We were the younger states in the Union. You know, Alaska was, you know, the year after I was born became a state. You know, I used to be able to slap my 44 on my hip and go to the grocery store and nobody bat an eye when I moved to Alaska. I moved there in 1979. And I understand that personal responsibility, personal freedom. You are the first responder, being prepared, you know, if you have a disaster, you know, people help people. That's my background. My background is not, you know, to form militias and get ready to take over the government and march on freaking Washington, D.C. You know what I mean? All that crap. I'm not a lawbreaker, you know, and I just think that's really important to put that out here in this conversation because it did take that turn.
No, it's a brilliant point, and I think, you know, first of all, I think everybody needs to really check out Chris's group, Coalition of Freedom, on Facebook, because these are the kind of in-depth conversations and research that we're doing there, trying to find the principles that work with the Constitution and will right the ship, and we have to work together to do that. So, you know, Coalition of Freedom on Facebook, get on there. But I think the important point to understand, and this is where confusion occurs, and the enemy is taking advantage of this confusion in order to get us to go down the wrong path. You don't want to go to war with the federal government. I don't care how big and badass you think your militia is, you're going to lose. Not only that, but you're going to have to be fighting the federal government as well as every other militia of power. It'll be chaos. It'll be like Afghanistan or the Balkans. It's not what we want. So understand something. There is a difference between the institutions that we establish to create a civilized society and if those institutions are appropriated or populated by evil men. So just because there are bad cops out there who shoot dogs and bust down the wrong houses and they're adrenaline junkies on the SWAT team doesn't make policing bad. Just because there are people like Nassan who engaged in terrorism, not workplace violence, as a member of our military doesn't mean the military is bad, okay? Just because our government has over exceeded its constitutional bounds, and there are bureaucrat socialist lifers and also, you know, career-minded politicians who are just doing anything they can to grow their power and not respecting the Constitution, doesn't make government itself bad. We need these institutions to order our lives together, including government, and that includes county, local, state, federal. We need mediating institutions, which include, non-government organizations, churches. We need law enforcement. These are all things that are necessary. Just because they're being misappropriated doesn't make them intrinsically bad, and you don't want to necessarily be Don Quixote or rage against the machine. We have the rule book. The Constitution works. The Founding Fathers had these very arguments. They weren't talking drones, they weren't talking about nuclear weapons, they weren't talking about an industrial country. But in principle, they had these very arguments when they founded the Republic with the Constitution and when they declared secession from Great Britain. So follow their guide. Why reinvent the wheel? All we have to do is take those timeless principles that came to fruition in 1776 and 1789 and apply them in a method that works today. That's what we have to do. So law enforcement is important. We're supposed to be that law enforcement. Our sheriff is supposed to be that law enforcement. When we talk about a militia, it is not a gang. Look it up. It's in the Constitution. It calls for Congress to have every state call up a well-regulated militia of all the people who serve together in order to maintain the security of their community, the common defense, and to be first responders in time of disaster. That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Jan Brewer did that in Arizona recently.
Sort of. You know, it's not – there's directions – we're going in those directions in some places, but it's not fully there yet because people are, like you said, uneducated. You say the word militia, and everybody thinks of a bunch of rednecks running around the woods, you know, shooting at everything that moves and looking for postal workers and police and anybody else to kill. That's not a militia. Look it up. It's in the Constitution. It is a properly constituted enforcement mechanism of the Constitution. And that's what we need to get back to. So you've got to educate yourself, and you've got to take personal responsibility. You cannot have liberty without duty, because you have a duty with liberty. If you don't want the responsibility that comes with liberty and you keep giving it away to other people, then don't be surprised when you end up in a police state, because you've given away all your power because you were too apathetic and lazy to use it. If you want liberty, take the responsibility. And the first thing to do is get informed and understand what it is that we mean by liberty and what responsibilities come with it in our constitutional republic. And then teach others and awaken them so that together we can restore the republic and put the federal government back inside its constitutional box. And this focus of this show was hotheads and holy wars. Not only is this our responsibility to ourselves and our family and our communities to restore liberty here, but because of the imperialistic nature of these hotheads and their holy wars across the globe, it's our responsibility to our fellow man in other countries. And in fact, real quick, I'm going to play a clip that just kind of highlights this just because it goes with tonight's theme. And then we're going to come back and chat about it. And then I've got one final clip that will tie us into something that's probably going to go for vote tomorrow, which we need to address, which is the border.
Yeah.
But this is a very interesting piece. This is, I believe, it's about 5 minutes, but it's a Irish MP, a member of parliament, where the G8 meeting was, and she's talking about Obama. And it's important to know something. This administration, and it's not just Obama, it's this administration, this power structure that he inherited from Bush also, has made a habit of undermining our friends globally and bolstering our enemies. So this is criminal government working against the interests of these United States, and we need to do something about it. And so I think that it's important to realize that our actions across the world are pissing off our friends, which makes us less safe, and emboldening our enemies, especially people like John McCain running around with Al-Qaeda terrorists. So here she is. It's 5.5 minutes, and I think it's very, very key to listen to. It's a much longer speech. You can find it on the Tex and Rex show page in the comments under the posting for this show, or join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia on Facebook, and I have all the clips and articles that we've referenced posted there for you to reference. But Kristen, I'll be back on the other side of this 5.5 minutes.
Taoiseach, I think it's important to take this opportunity to bring a bit of balance into the discussions around the visit of the US President and his wife, given the almost unprecedented slobbering over them that the nation has been exposed to over the last number of days. And it's really hard to know which is worse, whether it's the outpourings of the Obamas themselves or the sycophantic fawning over them by sections of the media and the political establishment. We've had separate and special news bulletins by the state broadcaster to tell us what Michelle Obama and her daughters had for lunch in Dublin, but very little questioning of the fact that she was having lunch with Mr. Tax Exile himself. We had very little challenging of the fact that she's glad to be home. Home, a country that she's been in less than a week and that her husband has very tenuous links in. And of course, the biggest irony of all, the protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal. He has just announced his decision to supply arms to the Syrian opposition, including the jihadists, fueling the destabilization of that region and continuing to undermine secularism and knockback conditions for women. This is the man who is in essence stalling the Geneva peace talks by trying to broker enhanced leverage for the Syrian opposition by giving them arms, and to hell with the thousands more who lose their lives or the tens of thousands more who will be displaced as this war goes on. This is the man who has facilitated a 200% increase in the use of drones, which have killed thousands of people, including hundreds of children. And you, Taoiseach, you are the one who's turned a blind eye on these activities. You've talked about the G8 being an opportunity to showcase Ireland. But is it not a reality that you have showcased us as a nation of pimps, prostituting ourselves in return for a pat on the head? To be honest with you, we were really speculating this morning whether you were going to deck the cabinet out in leprechaun hats decorated with a bit of stars and stripes to really mark abject humiliation here. So my question to you, Taoiseach, is as follows. What steps are you going to take to follow in the correct statements and the correct decision of your colleague Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore, who voted against the lifting of the arms embargo in relation to Syria? What steps are you going to take to ensure that no weapons for Syria are going to go through Shannon in breach of our international laws on neutrality? What steps are you going to take to showcase this country, not as a lapdog of US imperialism, but as an independent nation with an independent foreign policy, which takes a lead in international diplomacy to outlaw the use of drones, the favourite method of extermination of your friend, Mr. Obama? Thanks, John Corlo. Of course, I said nothing about the Northern Ireland peace process, a process which everybody supports, but it's not one that gives you a license to do whatever you like anywhere else around the globe. There isn't much peace in Iraq, where 26 people lost their lives yesterday. There isn't much peace in Afghanistan. There isn't much peace in Pakistan. And there certainly isn't much peace in Syria. And the side I'm on in Syria is the one, and what I agree with, is the statement by Oxfam, where Oxfam said sending arms to the Syrian opposition won't create a level playing field. Instead, it further risks fueling an arms free-for-all where the victims are the civilians of Syria. Our experience tells us that the crisis will only drag on for longer if arms are poured in. And that's in essence what the Americans have done here. I can only take from your non-answer to the question that you were asked is that you're going to take no steps to ensure that those arms will not be sent through Shannon in breach of our neutrality. You said here last week no arms ever came through Shannon. How do you know that, seeing as no investigations take place? The reality is, in 2012, 548 US planes landed in Shannon. How do you know what was on them if you haven't examined them? Your Minister for Transport revealed in a parliamentary question that 239 civilian planes landed in Shannon, where they sought permission because they were carrying munitions of war or dangerous goods on a civilian aircraft. What steps are you going to take to intervene in this situation? And the last point I'll make is that people in this country are very fond of our American brothers and sisters. And I think we stand far more shoulder to shoulder with them by making valid criticisms of their president, who has broken his election promises, rather than just pimping this nation as a tax haven for their corporations. I'm sure the Americans would far prefer if their multinationals paid their taxes at home rather than offshore here, so they could develop their health care, so they wouldn't be wasting money on arms being sent to slaughter people in other countries.
Thank you, Deputy.
I love her.
She's a spitfire, and she nailed it.
She's right on.
Yep. She's a wacko bird, an Irish wacko bird, but she's a wacko bird.
Man, come over here and get in our Senate, please.
Yeah, I think the point... Go ahead.
No, well, yeah, she hits the point, and this is kind of a revelation I came, you know, because I mean, my son fought in Iraq, you know, and we went to Afghanistan, and I was, hey, go get the bad guys, you know, I was all over it, and then, you know, I started learning some things, and then I'm watching, you know, our soldiers get killed in Afghanistan, and nobody doing anything about it, you know, and now I'm watching us negotiate with the Taliban, who's been killing us, and then backing Al Qaeda, you know, to topple sovereign nations, you know. And I'm not saying Assad is a pussy cake. He's got his own problems, but you know, compared to organ eating Al Nusra, Al Qaeda, you know, yeah. Come on, people. You know, I mean, I've learned some things over the last few years of my life. And
I keep hearing Chris. I keep hearing Assad's a bad guy. Assad's a bad guy. No one tells me why he's a bad guy. Okay? But he's authoritarian. He has secret police. People can't speak up about the government. Well, you know what? That sounds like the United States today.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You know, I mean, good guy, bad guy. Look, there's a whole world out there.
Hey, let's put it
there.
This way. He had religious freedom in his country.
Well, yeah, but, and, yeah. You know, what
different
I'm saying is, you know,
religions were welcome
we
there.
Can't fix,
Christians went
we
there.
We can't fix
you know,
the whole world. We can't fix the whole world. But the problem is that Syria is a secular regime. They actually fight fundamentalist Muslim terrorists. They're an ally with
the problem right
Russia.
There.
Yeah, they're an ally with Russia. Now, Russia, you know, and you've talked about this, and we've mentioned it on the group, so everybody go to Coalition of Freedom, and you can learn more about this, but... You know, the southern part of the Russian Federation is 95% Muslim, especially through the Caucasus north of Syria and Iran and Iraq. And if Syria falls because of our support, because Assad's winning right now, and if Syria falls because of our intervention and it becomes a fundamentalist jihadi state the way it's happened in Libya, the way it's happened in Afghanistan, the way it's happening in Iraq, the way it's happened in Egypt – then that's going to spread Muslim fundamentalism up through the Caucasus right into Putin's backyard. He's not going to put up with that. He's already had his problem with Muslim fundamentalists. He fought a war against them. He shut it down, and it's relatively under control right now. If we instigate it, he's not going to stand for that, and we do not have the resources, the time, the power, or the energy to go toe-to-toe with Russia and China. That's how dangerous and stupid the hotheads in Washington are by supporting a holy war against the secular regime. And I could give two shits if Assad is a good guy or if the Ba'ath Party is good or bad. That's a Syrian problem. And, yep. And if anybody has an interest in that, it's Putin, not us. Our only interest as a people, not necessarily as a government, as a people, is to ensure that our Christian brethren in the Middle East are left unmolested. And in Syria, they used to be.
They're not
anymore.
In all of our actions and our wars and our backing, the good guy, bad guy, all bad guys, whatever we're backing, depending on what policy we have in which country, Christians are getting abused and annihilated and killed and run out of their homes. Christianity, came out of the Middle East. Paul touched Damascus first.
That's where we were first called Christians.
Yeah, I mean, my God,
in Syria, that's where it first came.
And Lebanon and Syria both, protected Christians. And people don't know this stuff. It's important to understand this. But, when we went in there and tore Iraq up, and then it turned into a secular sectarian war, the Christians fled to safety. Well, where did they go? They went to Syria because Assad said, you can come here. Now, that's the bad guy that we're replacing. And it frustrates the hell out of me because, Assad had an interview a little while ago, and Putin also talked about this, and Putin had a great interview or speech or whatever you want to call it on this. He said, if this group gets a hold of Syria, it is going to spread through Turkey, it's going to spread into Jordan, it's going to threaten Israel again, it's going to spread into the Caucasus, it's going to spread up into Eastern Europe. He goes, you people, he says, I mean, basically, you can see him sometimes just shaking his head going, what the hell are the Americans doing?
Yep.
We're not spreading democracy. We're spreading jihad, caliphate, organ eaters. I mean, that's what we're spreading. That's what we're helping. Yeah. And I'm just like, are you flipping kidding me? Nobody is covering this shit in the news. You have to go to,
of course not.
RT or Al Jazeera or, Press TV out of Iran to get any facts on the ground of what's really happening in those countries. Turkey's on fire. Jordan is housing these guys, and we're training them, and we've been doing it for a long time. Finally, the truth comes out. They've been lying about arms to Syria since Libya. And all of a sudden, they admit it, and nobody even questions it, Rex. I couldn't believe some of the articles I was reading the last couple of days going, connect the dots. This whole Libya thing, they're lying their butts off about Libya. It's been about arms to Syria forever. They covered it up.
That's
and
why
lied
the Benghazi
about it. Americans died. Yep. Yeah, Americans died. They've been lying about it, and it just came out in several reports that we've been training these guys forever. What, are we sending them across the border with no weapons in their hands? We've just been training them for 2 years? Come on. And people don't even question this stuff. That's what just blows me up. The government. Governments are, inherently always do stupid things. The thing is, I've never seen such a dumbed-down, complacent population in my life. That's what frustrates me. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, the crazy thing is that the left is running around saying that, Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. The Republicans keep playing it up just as a talking point because they don't want to run in 2016. While that may be true, that can't be the initial intention. Now, it's fine as a political strategy to go ahead and make sure Hillary is tainted with Benghazi and can't run in 2016, primarily because she's probably responsible, not because you're fabricating something. But they're harping on that. I think the point that this whole Benghazi cover-up is what's providing weapons to jihadis. And, allegedly we are engaged in a global war against terrorism. But what it is basically become is a war of terror because we're the ones that are financing and supporting the jihadis against regimes who we otherwise might not like, but who are actually fighting these guys. It's sheer insanity unless your intention is to undermine the United States. And by fomenting a Muslim jihad in the Middle East and destabilizing Russia, the banksters and the corporations get access to all those resources, and the war mentality allowed to engender a police state at home, and they're distracting us from the real problem. Because in all honesty, our resources and our focus shouldn't be on the Iraq-Syrian border, the Turkish-Syrian border, the Golan Heights-Israeli border. Those aren't the borders we should be concerned about. The border we should be concerned about is the sieve to our south that isn't only having Mexicans cross into our border to take lower-paying jobs away from one out of four Americans that's currently unemployed, but you have diseases and terrorists and an economic disaster across that southern border that's a sieve. And what we've got now is a replay of 1986 where we're going to give amnesty. They keep telling me 11 million, which is a bullshit number. It's more like 40 million. You know, you're going to give amnesty to these illegals when one out of four Americans doesn't have a job. Until you get the people who were legitimately here as immigrants or who were born here work, you don't import more people. And you're also creating a destabilizing situation vis-a-vis our resources because people wouldn't come here if there weren't all these freebies. They would only be coming here if there are jobs. And the fact is, if your economy's working, you'll have the jobs, but we don't have them.
We're becoming the kidnapping capitals of the world in our own cities now, in America.
We got
people getting beheaded in America. What the hell is wrong with people? This is not about compassion. Americans are the most compassionate people in the world. We give more money, more time, more resources. We do more outreach. Our churches do more, whatever you call it. You know, when you go to other countries. Sorry, I just lost my
mission.
Mind.
Mission. Missionary work.
Yeah, mission work. Sorry, Ben, I lost it. I was reading articles and talking at the same time. But you know, you look at that. It has nothing to do with Mexicans or poor people. You know, we got a lot of poor people right here in America we can't take care of. We have elderly people we can't take care of. I have a disabled son. You know, we've lost 20% of his potential, care help. You know what I mean? While our economy's going to hell.
Yeah.
And they want to import a whole bunch more of them, throw them into the system. They're lying about, will they get Medicaid? You know, the moment, or social services, the moment they have a child that's a U.S. citizen and they're below a certain income, that child gets welfare. And that means they do get welfare. Now, maybe they don't on their, on their name, but the child
that
does.
Right.
So they have five kids.
Yep.
All we're doing is destroying this country. The border is not going to be secure. This new amendment is bullcrap. I listened to Levin and Laura Ingraham are two of the staunchest people on this issue. They get into the bill. They break it down. Both of them are attorneys. They have the right people on who take the time, to really study to get off the talking points, get off the emotional, get off the bull crap. And I'm sorry I didn't find that clip, but Laura tore that guy up, that guy from North Dakota, that senator that put this new bill out, or this new amendment that got adopted in the bill to make conservatives like the bill. And he got on and started talking to her. She ripped him apart. And I wish I would have found the clip of just that.
Well,
she told
maybe we'll
him,
get to it next
goes,
time.
She goes, don't give me those freaking Democrat talking points. It's amnesty as it sets. It ain't amnesty as it sets. You know, the border will not be secured. It doesn't matter if they put it in the bill or not. They put a fence in the bill. It never got built.
Well, they put a proposal for a fence.
All they do is the same thing that Boehner doesn't have enough brains to figure out with Obamacare, is they just defund it. And there's a law in the book with no money. It doesn't get done. And that's what they will do. They will say, we need 40,000 border agents. And then they won't fund it, so you won't have 40,000. The fence has got to be built. They won't fund it, so the fence won't be built. And they give that power to Napolitano. You know, I mean, if anybody believes a word that comes out of her mouth, you need mental help. You know, there's so many provisions in this bill where she can just say, they talk about, if you're unemployed. If you're unemployed, these rules don't apply, and through no fault of your own. So all of a sudden, how many people are unemployed in this country as it is? You let 11 million of them, all of a sudden you make them legal, That doesn't make them employed. Now they can get benefits. There's so many
And they're not employed. They're employed under the table, then they're technically not employed.
Yeah, I mean, there's just
so
all these little,
foregone conclusion.
These little things they can do just to screw the system. You cannot have an open border and a welfare and an unchecked welfare system. That's a bottom line.
No, you can't. But this is part of the same reason. No, it's the same reason we've got the support of the jihadis in Syria that they're doing this so-called immigration bill. It's all part of undermining these United States. We're running out of time, but I want to kind of wrap up this topic and then bring it home. But real quick, I've got about 2 minutes, Ted Cruz, talking about the immigration bill. And this is important because it's going to be voted on. And from what I understand, one of the things they're doing is they're scrapping most of the, quote, Gang of Eight bill, and they're going to substitute it with like a 800 or 1,000-page amendment that none of these guys who are voting on it have read. So we don't even really know what's in it. It's probably way worse than the Gang of Eight bill, and they're going to try to pass it. So you've got to get on the phone with your senators, with your representatives, with anybody who will listen, and also make sure to call Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, who are standing against this thing. And Rand Paul is going to attempt to, quote, filibuster the vote. But he's not going to be getting up to speak for 13 hours. But what he's going to do is not is trying to muster up enough votes to not allow closure on the bill. And if the debate isn't closed, then they can't vote on it. So give him support. Thank him for what he's doing, because the fact is that we do need to resolve the issue of immigration. We do need to deal with the people that are here illegally already. And we do need to secure the border. But those things don't all have to be done together.
Yeah.
They can be done one after the other. And the first one is secure the border.
Yeah. And not this bill at this time. This is a scam.
It's a scam. Here's a Ted Cruz, and then you and I will come back, discuss this, and go to final thoughts.
This current bill is a mess. It is repeating the same failed pattern we saw in 1986. 1986, Congress came to the American people and said, we're going to grant amnesty to some 3 million people who are here illegally. And in exchange, we'll secure the borders. We'll fix the problem so illegal immigration will go away. What happened was the amnesty happened. 3 million people got amnesty. But the borders never got secured. And the problem got worse and worse. Today, instead of 3 million people, we're dealing with 11 million people who are here illegally. And what Congress is saying is the exact same deal, which is legalization first, and then they're promising maybe someday in the future the border will be secured. What an overwhelming majority of Americans want to see is the border secured first, fix the problem, stop illegal immigration, and then improve legal immigration to welcome legal immigrants. The current Gang of Eight bill all depends upon Janet Napolitano submitting a, quote, plan to secure the border. That plan will never materialize. And then this week, the big news is that a couple of Republicans have joined with Chuck Schumer and President Obama in supporting an amendment that they're going to say secures the border. But critically, just like the Gang of Eight, this new amendment allows legalization first, and then it promises possibly border security in the future. And we've seen before the border security will never work. You see women and children dying in the desert, being sexually assaulted. Nobody who supported rule of law, who supported a humane outcome, would want a system that encourages more illegal immigration. And that's what this bill does. And don't support this Gang of Eight bill, because it is a mess that will make the problem worse.
There you go. That's the senator who's there, who's read the bill.
Yep. And he knows his stuff legally. Well, my closing thoughts on this immigration bill, and I followed it closer than I wanted to, because I knew from the moment it popped up, you know, with the timing of it, you know, that it was just a scam to begin with. I already knew that. I was pissing people off because I say, oh, this is just 1986 on steroids. And no, we got to do this. And oh, no, Rubio's on the Gang Aid. And I go, okay, I'll start a thread on it. But I bounce in and out of the thread because it bores the crap out of me, because I knew, I've actually watched videos back in 2000, whatever, six or whatever, with Schumer and the rest of these guys. They were saying
Chuck
the exact
Schumer.
Same bull crap back then. They're using all they did was blow the dust off their old talking points and started spitting them out. They got together with the mainstream media. They run these campaigns. Obama gets out, you know, on his $100,000 an hour jet, runs around, starts spilling his bull crap and reading off his teleprompters while he's hiding behind bulletproof glass. And they just set up these campaigns. And it's the same thing they did with the gun laws and everything else. They do the exact same thing. And the Republicans do the exact same thing. They react. They don't get to the core of the issue. They don't message well. And then you have a handful of Republicans that get on the side of the left, which just makes us look like weak fools again and again and again and again. And it just makes you wonder, you know, because everything in the last 2 years since we've had a majority and finally broke the supermajority in the Senate, everything that's come down the pike that was bad for this country could have been stopped, including defunding of Obamacare. Did they do it? No. So you want a government that gave you a 1,000-plus page bill, 2,000 pages, Obamacare, that's already ruining our economy and hasn't even totally been enacted yet, that has ripped the guts out of our society, that has cost billions of dollars across the board, time, effort, you know, lawsuits, all the things that have gone on. You want that same group to turn around and implement another 1,000-page bill that is controlled, all the triggers and all the dynamics are controlled by whoever's, you know, in power, like Napolitano or whatever. I'm thinking just that alone should be enough common sense to go get off the emotional content and stop this bill and wait until you got Republicans in power so that they can go in and fix it properly. And then fixing it properly is dealing with the border and the interior legal issues and the crime and our national security. While they're busy, you know, spying on you, they're letting terrorists into our country. You know, we don't even know what the numbers are. They may, because they tap everybody, but we don't. And so, you know what I mean? It's that same group who you are going to trust to secure your border, who haven't secured the border, even though there's laws on the table now to secure the border. I mean, that to me is just critical thinking. You just go, it's bad, it's wrong, the timing's off, and the people involved in pushing it have already proven they're untrustworthy people. That's all I needed to know. It was bullshit. Now, I've studied it much deeper than that and followed people, you know, who I respect and trust, who have dug in really deep into it, and all the facts are there. You know, Monday they're going to force a vote on this thing. Yep. And you do not want it to pass in the Senate and then go to the House, because the House is working on their own bill. They shouldn't even be working on a bill, because here's what will happen. And Ann Coulter, as much as she drives me crazy, has been very clear on this. She said that if the House passes a separate bill, the Senate passes one type of bill, the House passes something else. It goes to conference. In conference, they'll have another gang of eight, you know, criminals, gangsters, right? That group will get together, and then they'll work on the bill, and then everybody will vote and pass it, and then Obama will sign it, and you'll essentially have what the Senate wants to pass now. The House is doing will hurt the chances of stopping this bill if they pass anything separate than what the Senate is passing. You need to know this stuff. This is education. Go ahead, I'm done.
Yep. No, it's a very valid point, and I think that the important thing to understand is it's falling for their stated intentions. When they tell you they're doing something, they're going to couch it in sentimental terms and things that are important in order to tell you that something has to be done, trust us to do it with this multi-thousand-page bill, but they have a different and alternate agenda from the get-go. This is not about immigration. This is not about being kind to people that are already here. This is not about security and jobs and curtailing spending. This is about undermining the very sovereignty and stability of your country. That's exactly what this is about. Just the same as, quote, arming the rebels in Syria against the tyrannical Assad regime is not about helping the people of Syria who are being oppressed by Assad. It is about promoting jihadism. They are lying to you, and it's because they are corrupt and because their power has far exceeded their constitutional boundaries. Now, this immigration thing is not about immigration. It's not about the illegal aliens. It's not about welfare. It's not about benefits. It's not about securing the border. This is about the country and the kind of power that they put into that bill, into unelected bureaucrats in government, is going to be used against you. It's going to reduce your wealth. It's going to reduce your liberty. It's going to destroy
your
the
wages.
Culture, which is the foundation of liberty in this country. That's the point. So you really understand this. So call them. Call them and hammer the living crap out of every single one of them. When you're taking your smoke break, instead of playing Candy Crush Saga, instead of shoving your thumb up your ass, just take those 15 minutes and make some phone calls. The House switchboard, okay, is 202-224-3121. Call them, 202-224-3121. Tell them to scrap this bullshit and then pass a bill securing the border, and then we can deal with immigration separately. And to call the Senate, that switchboard is, I don't even know if I have that number. 202-224-3121. Yeah, okay, so you can call both of them, 3121, 224-3121. You can get them, that's the Capitol Hill switchboard. Tell them to give you your senator, your congressman, whoever the hell will listen to you, and just friggin' tell them. These people are up for election soon, a third of the Senate, all of the House, so they're going to have to play politics and tell them you're watching their vote. The more of us that tell them that we're watching them, the more they'll have to finagle the game, and if they can't carry enough numbers, especially since there's a lot of members of the House that are going against Boehner on this, he's trying to bring this to without a majority of his caucus in violation of what's called the Hastert rule, there's a lot of pressure that can be applied if enough of us call, so get on point. And we're going to go to final thoughts, but this immigration thing is very important, and it ties in with what's going on all around. I mean, you look at, you know, the fact that Hastings was killed for essentially being a journalist and reporting on whistleblowing activities. Snowden's passport has been revoked. He's being hunted across the globe by our government. We're foreign jihadis in the Middle East, and we're creating a sieve of a southern border, this is the kind of garbage that our government is doing instead of actually focusing on the things that really matter, which is unshackling this economy so that we can get people back to work so they can have some dignity and take care of their families and we can live free. Instead, they're clamping down and making things worse. So, Chris, we're almost out of time. I'm going to give it to you for final thoughts on hotheads and holy wars. And then we'll pick it up next week, 10 p.m. Eastern.
God, did we cover a lot or what?
It's a lot to cover.
Well, we haven't even scratched the surface. You know, I think the big thing is that, you know, I really encourage people, and I don't like promoting my group that much, but I really encourage people to join the group and get involved. Don't join the group so you got another place to post the damn news of the day. God, talk about just driving Rex and I nuts trying to manage that. You know, we have long, involved threads, and the idea is not how many articles can I find to post about Syria. The idea is get involved, you know, comment, ask questions, learn, bring information that helps, you know, everybody understand it, because it really, when you get people who want to engage, you learn together, because none of us know it all. I don't, you know, you and Tex are a hell of a lot smarter than I am, but, you know, I'm learning all the time because I want to learn. You know, I want to understand what's going on. It's my country. You know, when I'm dead and gone, you know, it's going to be my son's generation or their kids that are going to be stuck with this mess that we're leaving them. You know, I'm already stuck with the mess that my parents' generation left us because they weren't paying attention and fighting for liberty. You know, they were living the American dream, working hard, coming out of post-World War II, and they didn't question, you know. And then all of a sudden we're like a democracy, and we're not a democracy, and then all of a sudden we're an oligarchy and on our way to communism, and it's like, who in the hell wasn't paying attention? You know, I've always been kind of a freedom fighter all my life, but it's hard to turn it around when 90% of the masses are just following the frickin', you know, just walking down the yellow brick road, you know, working and getting their education, getting their brainwashing, going out chasing the American dream, buying houses they can't afford, buying shit they can't afford, running up their credit cards, you know, living stupid. This is not America. I mean, I grew up with my grandparents out of the Depression. My parents were Depression-era children, you know, they understood, you know, delayed gratification. They understood, you know, not living outside your means. I mean, somewhere in the 60s, we just lost our brains, you know, and then we had the 80s and the 90s, and everybody thought they were going to be rich, and and they changed our investment rules, and you know all this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not educating you on it, but you know what I'm saying. They just made it. They made, you know, and people started the way they invested, the way they were buying houses. It was all a setup to fail. And I just never really got caught up in that crap because I had a basic understanding of the economy, a basic understanding of delayed gratification and, you know, those types of things. So I think the key, you know, in my closing statement is educate yourself. You know, I don't like spending my day in the Middle East because it's such a bloody mess. But it's really important because it's defining the direction our country is going. There is a lot of people around the world that used to be allies of America that are shifting their alliance to Russia and China because they're sick of what America's done in the last 10, 15, 20 years. And you see it all over the country. And, you and I have talked about it. There's articles on it. There's whole documentaries on it of countries that are aligning themselves on the other side of the map because they don't trust Americans. They don't trust American politicians. They don't dislike you and I, you know, yep. And they don't dislike what America stands for. But they're going, we can't trust your politicians. We can't trust your corporations. We can't trust the Fed and what you're doing. I mean, Bernanke basically printed a bunch of money and shipped it all to Europe and gave it to all those banks. And he just basically said, here's a 30% inflation factor for your future to deal with, just to balance you out with us, with our problems. I mean, pretty, you know, countries who can afford to make different alliances are going to go, why'd you just ship your inflation to my country? You know, and they start looking around going, who isn't going to do that to me? Where is there sound money at in the world? You know, what other countries can I align myself with and trade deals? I mean, it's happening, and we've covered a lot of this stuff. So you need to understand this stuff because, I don't want to scare people to death, but I sure as hell want people to scare people enough to wake up and start preparing for reality. You know, there's a war coming. I can't stop it. Yep. You know what I mean? These assholes are arming evil people. Because they want there's a lot, people don't understand this about Syria. They just found or have found recently, last year or two, one of the largest gas reserves in the world under Syrian soil. Right off their coast, they found 7 huge oil wells. Okay, so, well, once they're tapped, they're well, but oil reserves. Okay, Syria is a gateway into Turkey. Qatar, which is a huge gas reserve, Saudi oil, and the Arab states, you know, they want to compete against Russia, and so they want to crash Syria so they can take it over and can build pipelines because Syria is not interested in their pipelines going through their country. And people just, you got to look at this stuff, quit getting emotional about 100,000 dead, 100,000 dead, 100,000 dead. That's what they hit you with all day long. They hit your emotions. Well, why is there 100,000 dead? Because we're arming people from 29 countries to invade a sovereign nation is why there's 100,000 dead. Holy crap. Yep. And for what? Gas, oil, and pipeline access. That's what it's all about. And wait until this one's over, if it ever gets over, if we don't end up all the way through the Caucasus and up into southern Southeast Europe.
This will be over. This one's going to keep going.
Kazakhstan and the rest of them, Uzbekistan and all those on the right-hand side of the Caspian
all
Sea,
the stands.
You know all the, what I call the stand countries, all the way up, that's up out of Pakistan and that's up out of Afghanistan. Well, if you look, you know, go to Google and research Central Asia oil and gas reserves and get a map and look at it and go, oh, now it makes sense. You know, it's natural resources. It's minerals, oil, gas, and pipelines. Natural resources, oil, gas, and pipelines. These bankers and these people who push these agendas on a global level don't give a shit about human life. They don't care about humanitarian purposes. They care about resources, and keeping their broken fiat currency going. You've got to learn this stuff because it changes your perspective when you look at some political maneuvering and why we're doing this in Syria or that in Iraq or this in Iran. You know, no, it ain't about a nuke. Why don't you look at the natural resources and where Iran sits on the map between the Caucasus and the Stan states and eastern China? So it's the belly of Russia and China and access to those natural resources and pipeline access. And you look at it. That's what it's about.
Yep.
Come on, nuclear weapon. We don't even know how many nukes Israel has because they won't tell us. We don't know how many nukes Pakistan has. India is a nuke country. In fact, India is the fourth largest military in the world. Did you know that? Probably not.
Yep.
You know, you've got to learn these things because it's going to all impact us if we keep stomping on other people's territory.
No, you nailed it.
You know.
You nailed it. You're right. And the fact is that what this is about is of resources and the consolidation of wealth for those elite transnational globalists who finance the multinational corporations and who basically control most of the central banks, and through that they control most of the governments. And the ones that don't play ball, like, for example, Syria or Iran, they're maligned for other reasons.
Libya and Iraq.
That doesn't mean that those countries necessarily have good intentions, but that's besides the point. You know, we always need to be prepared for defense in case we get attacked, but we don't need to be looking for monsters to slay abroad when our forces spread so thin and our economy is such a wreck. This is all about the failing fiat dollar and the fact that these people need to secure their resources, and in order to do that, they also need to be prepared to clamp down on us here hardcore when the thing gives way. Now, that could cause a lot of fear, economic collapse, global war. Yeah, it doesn't have to happen. If you have the will and you have the energy to get others awake and start backing the representatives, the statesmen who are up in the federal government and our local governments that are trying to get the right things done constitutionally for the benefit of America, and start crushing these rhinos, progressives, liars, cheats, and corporatist shills, okay, we can turn it around. Maybe not in one election cycle, maybe not rapidly, but soon. And then when you lose the Federal Reserve note U.S. dollar, instead of collapsing into some kind of Euro-type Western regional currency or special drawing rights from the IMF, we can go back to a precious metal-backed U.S. Treasury-issued dollar. A sound, stable money supply will prevent you from having endless global wars. It'll prevent interventions in places we don't belong. It'll allow us to revitalize the militia and our state sovereignty and be prepared with a strong national defense for anybody that comes our way. And the best deterrent against being invaded is being so well armed and so well trained that no one would dare do it. But we're weakening. We're rotting. You're lazy, you're fat, you're affluent, and you're giving up because the politicians and the media tell you this every day and bombard you with scandal after scandal. They're supporting jihadis in Syria. They're all a bunch of hotheads who want nothing more than war because it scares you into giving up your liberty for a secure police state while they're out raping and pillaging across the world. And you're not getting any of that wealth. You're not getting any of the booty from these other countries. They're taking it for themselves. So instead of sitting back and whining about it and running around crying the sky is falling, stand up. Get involved. Get others involved. As Chris said, educate yourself. Go to Coalition of Freedom. Read the articles. Listen to the commentary. Ask questions. Educate yourself. Start understanding what all these things mean. Look beyond their stated intentions and look at the pieces and how they link together from Snowden to Syria to the report to Hollywood to this integration bill. These things are all of a piece designed to cover the economic collapse that they've created over the last 100 years, and they are afraid. Because you're waking up, and more people are waking up every day. And you need to support those who are standing in the breach to prevent this from happening. Are things going to get worse? Probably. But you know what? Sometimes adversity builds character, and we need to reconnect with our American character and our heritage to stand up as free people to benefit the rest of the world by our shining example of free markets and free people and diffusion of power and a good and virtuous and free society. That's how you do it. You don't go impose democracy at the barrel of a gun. You show people by leading. That's what we used to do. That's what we need to do again. So while people like Senator Jane McComet are hotheads for a holy war supporting jihadis who we say are our enemies, but we're actually giving them weapons to cut out people's hearts and eat them and kill Christians, and we're preparing a silent invasion from our southern border to undermine the very integrity of this nation and cause chaos and collapse here, realize that these are the death throes of a dying tyrannical oligarchy. And it's not about Obama. It's not about the Democrats. It's not about the Republicans. It's about bad government. And don't destroy the government. Don't become an anarchist agitating for free-reigning gangs of militias. We have form. We have a system. We have the rules. We're just not following them. Learn what the Constitution says. Learn what your duties are as part of the constitutional militia. Learn what it means to truly be an American and what it truly means to be a constitutionalist, and quit playing the left-right game and let them manage your mind. Look at sources beyond your usual haunting places of Fox News and MSLSD, and start educating yourself and understanding what these principles are. We don't have to be hotheads. We don't have to engage in holy war. We have to be resolute. We have to be strong. And realize that right now, your number one enemy is not some foreign government. It's not Muslim jihadists, although they are our enemies. Your number one enemy is the criminal government that is trying to destroy your country. And you need to put it back in the box it belongs in so that the Constitution restrains it.
And well, please, let me add a
get
word
this information
I'm
out
sorry,
there.
Rex.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Let me add a word. I just think, you know, based on the tone of the callers that we had earlier, I think one of the key things is we don't have a criminal government. We have a great government. We have criminals in government.
Right.
I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just semantics,
oh,
I know,
point.
But it's just something. Because there's some great people. Our system, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, you know, our judicial system, the way it was set up, you know, the way it was up till, you know, a couple decades ago, it is the greatest system in the history of the world. We have a great
right.
government. We have criminals, yes. people who have probably never read the Constitution getting elected and going in
yep.
there, most of them attorneys, you know, screwing the system and breaking
yep.
the law. That's the broken
yep.
part. Sorry, I just want
no,
to throw
no,
that
no.
out there.
No, it's a very valid point. When I say criminal government, it's criminal government because those who are running it are not
yeah.
running it according to the rules by which it was designed. And they're not going to, not all of them, but there is a growing contingency of, quote, wacko birds up there that are going in that direction. But they're not going to until you make them do it. You're not going to make them do it at the end of a gun. They got more guns than you do. You're not going to make them do it through economic power. They've got the control of the money supply. The only way you can make them do it is through public pressure and support of those politicians who are actually statesmen and doing the right job. The bottom line is that it's a criminal government because it's a government that is exceeding the constitutional bounds by which our good government was created.
Right.
And that's the important thing. But if you don't know how the Constitution works and you don't know what your responsibility is for enforcing that very Constitution by which we all agree to live, then it's never going to happen. So get informed. Learn, read the Constitution, find out about the properly constituted statutory militia, get involved in groups like Coalition of Freedom, teach people in your parties, your groups, your campaign for liberty about these things, okay? You can always find more information, you can always share different viewpoints, and you can always learn more. That's the whole point of Coalition of Freedom, that's the whole point of this show. So please, thank you for sharing the show. Please continue to share. When you see one of our links, share it, tweet it out, get the information out there, download the links. Because if we don't have these conversations and we don't get back in touch with our constitutional roots, we're going to end up living in 1984, a brave new world. Not
pretty
a foregone conclusion.
Right,
yeah, we're very close to it, but it's not a foregone conclusion. It is not time to give up. It's not time to go into chaos Mad Max mode. Now we are winning because more people are disturbed and awake. A lot of people know something is wrong, but they haven't put their finger on it. Reach out to them, whether on the left or the right, and get them involved in restoring a constitutional government and restoring our country to the proper place that it needs to be. And Tex and Rex will be back next week. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw out one thing. I was just thinking about how much I've learned because
You've got 30 seconds. You've got 30 seconds.
Oh, anyway, go ahead. Close out.
All right. Well, we got a lot to cover, so we'll catch you next week, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
This is Tex and Rex. signing off.
And the flames of liberty never die. Protect.